then John the Baptist appears from the throne. Think of the glory of the throne. The glory is in us. You know, it's in your sink also, it's everywhere. Randy is a liar. Yes. Randy and Eugene are liars. So, again, let me go back to the vision of God and stop the ineptitude that I see here. Stop addressing it. I am standing right before the throne of God Almighty in that vision. 2nd of April 2004. Everybody focus on me, this vision, I've said it forever, across the whole earth. And while I'm there, then all of a sudden that vision, standing before the throne is covered by the super white glory that you see scrolling on your screens in different places. While I'm there, the throne is covered by the glory. Then John the Baptist appears from the glory of the throne, from the throne. And he comes all the way to me. And he stands there. And he has a conversation with me. I know, of course, he goes this way and then he turns here. And then he has a conversation with me. And in that conversation, we are talking about the return, the coming of the glorious Lamb of God who died for the sin of the world. How I should go and tell the four ends of the earth, the Father has now said. The Father said, now go and tell them that the glorious Lamb of God who died for the sin of the world is now coming. And that they now need to prepare the four winds of the earth, four corners of the earth. You remember one part, the other part of that tremendous conversation, vision, is when now, in talking about how the Messiah died for the sin of man, then there's much detail I'm not sharing. Then the Lord said, let me show you what is about to happen to the earth. Then we are now coming from the throne of God to Jerusalem. Jerusalem. And once we arrive above the sky in Jerusalem, remember the first thing we see on the left like this, the tomb of Yasser Arafat. Guys, remember that time he was still alive. Then I see his death and the tomb. It's a fresh tomb like this, dark, long, fresh soil. A long, fresh tomb. And then because we are seeing from the clouds, so I can see people, I can see houses, but because we are seeing from the cloud, so it's as though you are seeing candles, but those are windows to the houses though, with light inside, and it was night time. But because we are seeing from above, you could think they have candles inside their houses, and then the sound was, I've demonstrated this globally, severally. There was a lot of mourning all over that Palestinian land where the prophecy I'm going to handle was spoken, right? Hallelujah. And so, there is a lot of mourning and wailing in the entire Arab world, really, in the Islamic world. And I see. So I gave the prophecy, I've seen the death of Yasser Arafat. He's going to die. That was the head of PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization, okay? Remember, Israel is the prophetic clock of God for the end time. So the events happening there are very critical. That's why I want to be here today. So that I may now, for the first time, contextualize for you the meaning of this mission of God on the earth. I know that you have seen it, you have realized this is different, and this is quite significant. So you need a translation. So today you get it here. For 20 years I've waited to this. So now, from above, the mourning and wailing all over the, like lamps, every, at night, you could see the windows and people are crying and mourning. After that, then we see the changes of leadership in Jerusalem. Now we are focusing on Jerusalem. That's when we saw Benjamin Netanyahu 1 and Benjamin Netanyahu 2. That's why we prophesied his return way back in 2004. The word is return. Return because for the many years I lived in Israel, it was Yitzhak Rabin, Yitzhak Rabin. You remember Yitzhak Rabin, the peace treaties, the Oslo Accords, the handshake, you know, and all that, right? It was Yitzhak Rabin, the prime minister at that time when we were there. But when we were there, a young man called Yigal Amir sort of took away the life, assassinated Yitzhak Rabin, I think because of the peace treaty. You see that? So then, the first Benjamin Netanyahu came then. So we stayed, we were under that leadership at that time there. So when I said coming back, that he would come back, 2004 now, he would come back, the Lord is showing the dream, so that is the coming back. So that's why I said Benjamin Netanyahu 1 and 2, but if you look very carefully, it's like 1 and 2 of 1 and 2. So within the 1 and 2, there is 1 and 2. Because to dramatize those changes, and of course, the Lord takes us globally, and we see the first change of leadership. We see the capital cities. So the Lord takes us to Washington, D.C., it takes us to Canberra, it takes us to Paris, it takes us to all the capital cities of the world. And we see the second change of leadership causes a lot of fear globally. Not really fear, yes, fear, but worry. Because they were asking, how shall we address the question, the Palestinian question, the question of peace in Palestine? With the right-wing government, because the second change became extremely right-wing, the second change. And so that is what you see played out recently. You see shock and horror, shocked and horrified, alarm, as Netanyahu set to form Israel's most right-wing government ever. So these are words, the words of God spoken in 2004. And this is in 2020, is it 23? Let me check it here. This is 22. You understand? Yeah, they're there on your screen right now. So, the exact shock that I described then, you now see it all over. Why world leaders are alarmed and apprehensive of Netanyahu's far-right-wing government, you see that? Then another paper is saying Netanyahu's coalition from hell won't shake Biden. You know, no, that's now, I don't know which paper is that. That is Carnegie Institute, Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. And then you have Reuters saying analysis, as Netanyahu returns, concerns grow over far-right ally. Netanyahu on course to lead Israel's most right-wing government ever. Partial Israel results suggest Netanyahu and far right and so forth. And it says here, Israel's results show Netanyahu's comeback by far right. Israel elections, it says in full colon. You see now how he comes in, Benjamin Netanyahu too. With the right-wing government, you see how it comes. From the prophecy of 2004, 2nd of April. And then you see those words are reported all over the global news. The fear I was talking about across the global capitals. Are we together? This is amazing time that one may appear to say things in 2004 and then they show up. Those things show up in real news, global news, and real changes, and that leader appears, right? And so, now, having brought you to the genesis of how he comes into the picture, I said the first Benjamin Netanyahu happened when we lived in Israel for many years. There was Yitzhak Rabin, who was the peacemaker that went for those Oslo Accords and all those, okay? And then, you remember that time there was a lot of platforms and benchmarks that were set for the peace treaty? I think in terms of exchange of land for peace and all that. You know, you people are aware, those who are able to read it now, you can find it. So now,
Benjamin Netanyahu, the prophecy speaks and he comes. Recently, that change of leadership the Lord was talking about was over-dramatized by the Lord. That's why there was one election after the other, one election after the other. One time they even removed him, right? And then he came back. You see that now. The Lord wanted to over-dramatize my words until he came back. Now, I want to look at the war in Palestine and the prophecy thereat. And I think that is our very important point of entry, at which when we enter, we're able to bring out now this agenda of God that I want to reveal today here, right? Which is a broader context for you. It will give you a global, universal kind of picture of the ministry beyond the creepers are walking. Is very powerful. It's not anywhere else. Those are organic miracles. And the reason you doctors are very important, the reason you doctors are very critical and very important is because all over the world, malalamishi is the Swahili word, there has been a lot of pastors are crying, senior pastors, you hear them crying. They're saying, how come in the U.S. we don't have organic miracles anymore? We don't have medically verifiable miracles anymore. That's where you see the role of the doctors. Because now you have come to let them know that I have come back. The Lord has brought them back. And so, what I'm saying is this, that now the prophecy I gave and the war in Palestine, and then now Benjamin Netanyahu, who's coming into the scene, I've just given a little proof on, he says the following words after October 7th. He says the following words. He says, before, you remember, they have been attacked. They have been attacked. And remember, if you allow me, before that attack, I was meeting some very senior leaders from Israel. And I told them, prepare for war. And I remember they looked at, war? Which war? I said, prepare for war. I'm glad now they are confessing. They're writing each other texts and they're calling each other that. That is a very senior prophet of the Lord. They are now saying. So before, that was before the attack. Prepare for war. I said, no, it's coming. And then, October 7th happened. And finally they were stormed. And 1,200 people died, killed, shot. And then the chaos and everything, and some others taken hostage, right? Now, remember, after that happened, the outrage, the pain, you understand? It was unbelievable, even what the nation of Israel was going through at that hour. Now that has happened, no response has happened, everything is quiet, people are wondering what is next. Soldiers, military is being reorganized, regrouped, recruited, and sent to the border with Gaza. They are packing their tanks there. Remember that time? Very tense time. And then, at that time, war has not begun. They say, no, we must pursue. The hostages have been taken. Yeah. 1,200 have been killed. Butchered in the worst manner ever. But then, if you can just allow me to continue with this kind of lighting, you can handle the electricity when you take a short break. That will help me. Because now I'm live on air. And everything seems to be very perfect now. So, that is it now. The attack has happened. Hostages are taken. No revenge yet. There is now fear. famine and anger. And then Benjamin Netanyahu gave the following statement, which I want us to begin from. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who's coming to the throne, I am the one who decreed. He said, remember what we did to the Amalekites. And remember, there was a global outrage, especially from the Palestinians. They said, no, how can you say such a thing? But not yet a fact. But just that he said, remember what we did to the Amalekites, there was an outrage. Already there is pain, 1,200 killed, hostages taken. You don't take hostages from Israel. You don't do that. The undoable has now happened. No attack yet. But he said, remember what, out of anger, preparing for battle. He said, remember what we did to the Amalekites. That's where I want us to begin from. And there was an outrage from the Palestinians. Said that, how can you say such a thing? This is a horrific thing to say. So, who are the Amalekites? That's where I want us to begin from. That you may understand what's going on right now, right? Once we're ready, we can get started. Now, in Genesis 25, I'm reading with you. Genesis chapter 25, I want to read only a few verses and open it up for you. And I have longed to share this, I repeat, with the church for many years. And today the opportunity has availed itself while meeting the medical team. Hallelujah. So now, what is that now? Who is touching what? Now, Genesis, what is that now? Genesis 25. I'm reading on a few verses from 21 to 26. I don't know why it's doing church here. Nobody can control it. So Genesis 25. Genesis chapter 25. I'm reading 21 to 26. It says the following. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless, meaning barren, right? The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. Verse 22, the babies jostled each other within her womb, in other words. And she said, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. Verse 24, when the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. So this is the entire place where everything begins from. That there was that fight in the womb by two nations. Again, Benjamin Netanyahu said, remember what we did to the Amalekites. And I'm trying to simply open for you the significance of that in this. What did he mean, in other words? And how does that relate to the war in Gaza? The prophecy I gave, right? The same 25, if you read 29 to 34, it says the following. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished, meaning full of famine, right? And hunger. And weak, right? He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of your red stew. I am famished. That's why he was called Edom. Jacob replied, first sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die, Esau said. What good is this birthright to me? So that is why the Bible all the time says he despised his birthright, despised for temporary pleasure, right? And that's why he stands out as a monument for the church and Christian walk, right? He said, so, but Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. 34. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil soup. That would be your ndengu, right? Is that true? That is ndengu. It was not even a lamb, just some lamb soup, some soft lamb lentil. The devil is buying these things, right? From you, from the world now. But this one is very significant. Follow me now, this, because the Lord is going to pull out his redemption lineage, and that is what will matter for this war. That is what will matter. He says, then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. He ate and drank, and then he got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. The Israeli prime minister said, remember what we did to the Amalekites. Now, Genesis 17 is very key. I'm just laying a foundation for you, then I'll get deeper, okay? Genesis 17, if you're with me. Verses 18 and 21, you see the significance of that. Genesis 17, senior doctors, it's good to meet you today. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming. Yes, Genesis 17, verses 18 and 21, it says the following. It says, and Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him, an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you, I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I'll make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up into heaven from him. Very significant right there. He's laying the importance of falling within the lineage of God's covenant of salvation. That's what he's laying, the gravity. He said, okay, everything else may happen, but make sure you fall within the lineage of God's covenant of salvation. Now look at me, focus on me. The lineage of God's covenant of salvation says the following. That God Almighty, the Lord, established his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because of that. So even as father was crying out, please, help Ishmael. He said, no, I will help. But mostly, my covenant, no, that one will go to Isaac. So you then see the importance of what happened between Jacob and Esau. Now I can explain to you a few things. Why he said, remember the Amalekites. After this point on, when now Jacob has received the birthright from Esau, from that point on, animosity began. If you read the book of Genesis 28, we just step by step trying to open you up into this. Verses 1 and 9, we see how far we go. He says, so Isaac called to Jacob, again, so Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him. Then he commanded him, do not marry a Canaanite woman. Go at once to Padan Aram, to the house of your mother's father, Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself there, from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May He give you and your descendants the blessings given to Abraham, so that you may take possession of the land where you now reside as a foreigner. The land God gave to Abraham. Then Isaac sent Jacob on his way. And he went to Padan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, who was the mother of Jacob and Esau. So, at that point, why was he being sent away? Because there was a threat. There was a threat that the brother wanted to hang him. Because you have the animosity begins now. There is a threat, the brother wants to kill him. You took my birthright. Now the covenant is from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we saw from Genesis 17 the significance, the gravity of making sure you fall within the lineage of the salvation of redemption, of the covenant of redemption. Are we together? Serious that I may explain to you all this and then bring in what I've wanted to share about the ministry for many years. And so now, in that order, in that situation, Deuteronomy 21:15-17, just to open up before I now say to you what I need to say. Hallelujah. And I appreciate your patience. We try to wait for some more people, but thank you. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 21, blessed people, 15 and 17, it says the following. Now the sound system is perfect, everything is well, right? It says, if a man has two wives, and he loves one but not the other, and both bear him sons, but the firstborn is the son of the wife he doesn't love, When he wills his property, his will, he's giving his will to his sons, he must not give the right of firstborn to the son of the wife he loves, in preference to the actual firstborn. The son of the wife he does not love, he must acknowledge the son of his unloved wife as the firstborn by giving him a double portion of the share he has. That son is the first sign of his father's strength. The right of firstborn belongs to him. So it sets out very clearly that you see, Esau knew he belonged to him. Hallelujah. He's laying the benefits of firstborn, that right, that birthright sold, the benefits. Everybody's on me here. The benefits, because some don't do this here. So, the benefits of firstborn, there is a double portion. So, the resentment, the anger, the animosity, the war. I'm just simply taking you back to where all this Gaza situation began from. And then you'll understand why he said, remember the Amalekites. Remember the Amalekites. So, now, you have now seen that Jacob has taken from Esau. And there is now animosity. Now, Jacob later signed a covenant of peace with Esau. Later, they sat down and later agreed that no, let us not kill each other on this. Kill one another on this thing. Out of honor now, we are one. Let's not fight. But when Benjamin Netanyahu said, remember what we did to the Amalekites. Who is Amalek? Amalek is one of the grandsons of Esau. I needed to bring it for you with a full background because of the condition of the church. So that now we are broadly understanding this, right? So, Amalek is one of the grandsons of Esau. And he grew in that house and he had every bitterness that was going on there. That these people have taken our right. These people have taken our this. Because the Lord now came up with the covenant of redemption, the covenant of salvation. The covenant of the Lord was the covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is your covenant of redemption, salvation. And now, it is not Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. So, Amalek grew up in the house and he had all this resentment and bitterness and the pain that went on in Esau's household. While Esau signed a treaty of peace, he agreed that let there be peace between him and Jacob. But this young man did not forgive. And remember what laid out, I read it today, what was laid out in the covenant, right? And therefore you shall take the land that was promised by the Lord to Abraham. Have you heard the land? The land is him. He said, the father told him, and you shall, may you take that land that was promised to Abraham by the Lord. So there are tangible benefits. So the bitterness in Amalek grew over time, became animosity and violence, to the extent that now out of him came a tribe, the Amalekites. The Amalekites now. You know, you understand when he said, remember what we did the Amalekites. In that tribe, the Amalekites, they have had one agenda. Their agenda has always been to destroy Israel, obliterate it totally, Jacob, Israel, and remove it from the map of the world. Are you now starting to get closer to understanding how this war is? Because they knew we would take the land also, other than being in the lineage of the covenant of redemption. Even the land now. So the objective is always one, to obliterate Israel and delete it totally and remove it from the map of the world. That is serious.
external. The bitterness, the pain, the anger, the feeling of loss. We have lost property, especially land. Land designed by God, given by God. Now, focus on me here. This bitterness, this war you see did not begin now. Can you turn to Exodus 17? Exodus 17, step by step. I thought today is the day I need to open up something deeper about the ministry, and this is the avenue I've chosen to bring it in. I know we are going to discuss Menengai, please, but just allow me to do this. Okay? This is important to broaden your understanding so you may understand within the context of the manifestations and everything happening in the ministry, where does it fit in the bigger scale of things? Bigger scheme, right? Exodus 17, once you are there, we read together verses 18 and 21, it says the following. Verse 8 to 16. Exodus chapter 17, are we together? Verse 8, start from verse 8, I think I have it now. It says, the Amalekites defeated, destroyed. Do you have subtitle? So you now meet them, the Amalekites. Netanyahu said, remember what we did to the Amalekites, right? Who are they then? I've done a derivative for you, I've derived it for you, so you can see now everything where it started from, right? He's saying, now look at this now, this is very tricky. He says, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I'll stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered him, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur, they went on top of the hill. As long as Moses lifted up his hand, the Israelites were winning. Whenever you know that, you know that war. Everybody knows this war, right? So the lifting, so now you know the two that lifted the hand. The lifting of the hand, you know that, right? So now, they defeated them and crushed them. But what is most important is that Israel had just come out. Was vulnerable. Was very weak, right? You have just come out of slavery. If you allow me to describe to you some details here that you may not see there, the procession was as follows. There was a group behind, a group in the middle, and a group in the front. There are three groups together, but partitioned. Those behind were mostly elderly, and those that were maybe compromised by sickness. So when the attack came from the back, you can imagine who was killed. Yeah. It's very painful, right? Because those are the treasure. But they were killed, the weak. You understand? And then, the Amalekites were destroyed. But that tells you right from square one. Right from square one. When the Lord has now commanded that they should come and take the land, the Amalekites, no, you are not going to take it. Can I repeat this? The Lord has commanded, come take the land. You are now a great nation. Come. The Amalekites, right from when they are very vulnerable, have just begun the journey. Struck. And killed quite a bit. And then, we are are trying to stop them from going to take the promised land. Are you beginning to understand the war now? The land. Let's move on. Step by step. Then the Lord makes some pronouncements. If you go to verse 16, if you jump into verse 16. Verse 16, the Lord says, once I get to read it, he said, because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord God Almighty, the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. He makes that statement. I'll go to Deuteronomy also and give a very key statement there. The Lord now, after Amalekites totally crushed, the enemy is defeated. The Lord makes a statement. He says that the Lord himself, the Lord himself, will now fight who? The Amalekites. But can I move back a bit? He's promising here that even as you go, just be aware that from generation to generation, there will be an attack by the Amalekites. Don't forget that. The day you forget that, you are finished. That's what he's promising. He's promising a perpetual battle with the Amalekites. Perpetual battle. Literally every generation. Meaning, this enemy is going to be around through all your life. Even from one generation to another. So, don't forget that. Okay, well, let's read Deuteronomy then. And see what he says there about this battle, Deuteronomy 25. Read with me. Are we together? Hallelujah. I want to use this as a point of entry to bring you something I've learned to share with the church about this mission of God. It's very hidden, it's very inside, it's very personal also. I share only with those very close, very close. But today I have decided to do this, right? I thought I should share with the doctors, but then it looks like we have been put it live on air for some reason. So, I just want to share it in-house on this mission. But now today is out. So the book of Deuteronomy, if you turn to me 25, you are there. Are you there? Deuteronomy 25. And then we are reading 17 and 19. It says, remember what the Amalekites did to you along the way when you came out of Egypt. When you were weary and worn out, they met you on your journey and attacked all who were lagging behind. So you see where the attack came from? Behind. They had no fear of God. When the Lord your God gives you rest from all your enemies, all the enemies around you in the land is giving you to possess as an inheritance, you shall blot out the name of Amalek from under the heaven. Do not forget.
He said, don't forget it, my Lord. He wrote it there. He said, don't forget it. Hey, you forget it, you are done.
He says, don't forget this. He wrote it there. Do not forget that. Let me just open it for you so you understand what he says. You shouldn't forget, right? He's saying, we're still in Deuteronomy 25:17-19. He says, remember that they attacked you, okay? Wanting to finish you. And then he says, when you are given your land now, he says, you should go out and wipe them out. Total. Did he say leave children?
You know, this is kind of something that sometimes will make you. So many people, oh, you see, I don't want to serve this type of God. This is a very cruel God where you should kill children. What? I don't want to go there, right? The Lord said, wipe them out under the heaven, my Lord. And then he says, do not forget this. So the key words you don't want to forget here are these. To wipe total out, let me just highlight for you where the problem areas are going to be. You can tell we are advancing and we are going to go into modernism, right? The modern age. So you will see matters, issues, right? He's saying, he's promising that look, Jacob, look, Israel, this enemy will be here from generation to generation. He says, don't forget that. Number two, this enemy will want to wipe you out, to delete you from the map of the world. Therefore, I give you authority to go and do what? Wipe out this enemy from the face of the earth. You can imagine, people can say, what type of God is that? His name is Jehovah, I know his name. Yeah. Hey, those are harsh statements, you would think, right? But even Jesus in the New Testament gave some harsh statements, right? If we deliberately keep on sinning, if after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no more sacrifice left for us but raging fire to consume the enemies of God. He has just thrown them right into the lake of fire when they were born again on this side, and then they backslid. Matthew 13, it talks about separating the wheat from the chaff, throwing the chaff into fire. So the Lord is, Jesus also spoke such stunning words on wiping out. Did he say get 20% of the chaff burn and the rest mix up with the wheat now and I will tolerate a few? Not at all. Yeah. So it's not an Old Testament phenomenon, but I will bring it to you. I bring it to you. Today you'll see the relevance of this. Why you are here, why you are in this ministry, my son, blessed sons and daughters. Very powerful. He's saying, do not forget that they are coming every generation, every year. They are coming for you. And because of that, he says, listen to this now. Okay, once you're ready. He says that the Lord himself would fight the Amalekites. So therefore, it reminds you of a moment, right? The land you are entering to possess is not like the land of Egypt, where you went to the Nile, you fetched water, and you irrigated on fruit as a man waters a vegetable garden. But the land you are going to take possession of has no river Nile. That land is a land the Lord your God loves so much. The eyes of the Lord your God are perpetual and constantly on that land. And the Lord has opened heaven over it, and will bring rain. You simply need to sleep with a warm blanket, and God will irrigate the fields. You don't have to do it by foot. You don't have to do that. He promised. He said, therefore, for the Lord to keep the heavens open, fear the Lord your God. Don't worship the idols of your neighbors. Obey the Lord. Obey his servants. Obey his statutes. Fear Yahweh. Worship him in holiness. Be righteous. He said the following must be observed. So does it remind you of that? The same thing here. Because then he said if you don't, he will shut the heavens, right? But here now, he is saying very clearly that remember that Amalekites will always come, every generation. Number two, that when they come, the Lord your God is the one who will do it. Do what? Go and smash them, fight them. What does that tell you about your relations with the Lord? Must be perfect so that he can fight the Amalekites. You are slowly beginning to understand where the ministry is going to fit in, right?
prophecy of it. So he's saying that you must be walking right with the Lord, that when they come, the Lord himself is the one who will attack them and smash them, destroy them, right? And number two, he's saying, don't forget that they are coming every year. And when they are coming every year, don't forget also that it is the Lord who can fight them. Okay, now, there was a problem October 7th, right? Yeah. The prosperity. Yeah. The modernism. The nuclear weapons is at the Sorek Nuclear Center, and the nuclear weapons at Dimona Nuclear Center. I know them. The Golani Brigades, the Sharp Alpha Units, the Mossad, the Shin Bet, the Shabak, all those are top intelligence networks, and the satellites, the smart fences with drones. Yeah, the smart fences where if you just touch like this, the machine gun tower has seen you and can remove you. Smart fences, smart borders, drones, the satellite from space are also seeing the border. The movement, the infrared movement detectors. The economy. Tel Aviv is the biggest diamond exchange probably in the world. And gold also. The Israeli economy is one of the best in the world. Until they wanted the governor of the Central Bank of Israel to be the president of what? Of the director of the World Bank. But he refused to say no. Because they saw the manner in which he did that economy. Eh? The medical centers, Hadassah Medical Center, presidents go for treatment. You have Universitat Yerushalayim, you have also Universitat Tel Aviv, Be'er Sheva. Those are top centers of excellence, you know. The medical centers have top-notch, state-of-the-art technology of surgeries and what and transplants. They're the best in the world. The economy is top. The army is top. The weapons are sharp. The training is sharp. And then you start relying on yourself. You start relying on yourself. Because he said, don't forget that they will always come, but it is the Lord that will fight them. They forgot. The whole world was shocked, right? Just plowing through the fence, right? Some of them flying with some funny, look like a movie. On motorbike, and some are flying on something propelling, and two people on top with a parachute. Those paratroopers, normally when you're standing, you don't hit them, you just hit the parachute itself. Aye, and successfully. On foot also. Motorbikes. Even just run and gun, block them. Okay, you don't pass, you're not passing with people. Hey. He says, don't ever forget, remember that the Lord your God will be fighting the Amalekites from generation to generation. Meaning they will always come, but the Lord will fight them. Forgot. It became a tragedy. I just want to lay a little example here why it became a tragedy. Because do you remember when King Saul was told by the Lord, go and attack the Amalekites and do what? Finish them all. Don't leave a baby, my Lord. Even a cow or a cat. What did he do? He smashed them all and spared Agag, their king. Let's go through that, you see, where this whole thing is. So that then I'll come to us now, the ministry. Right?
First Samuel chapter 15. This is serious, right? That you may now understand better biblical context, because I gave the prophecy of this war. That you may understand now. Oh, what is the importance of this war? The book of 1 Samuel, once you're there. And so, 1 Samuel, chapter 15. Let's try to make a quick read, a long read, right? It says, in the course of time, 1 Samuel, sorry, not 2nd. 1 Samuel, chapter 15, turn will be there. He says, the Lord rejects Saul as king. Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people, Israel. You not, have you noticed one thing? That the prophets of God always speak as external. In that way, they are independent also. Yes, and they can deliver the message. And they didn't say our people. Whoever our people. Not at all. They say over his, the Lord sent us to tell you to anoint him over his people. The prophets of God always come from outside. Total. That's important you catch that. They are not part of you. Not at all. Our prophet. Not at all. Not at all. You can't even tribalize them. That would be a tragedy. A lifelong tragedy. An eternal tragedy. So you see, I'm the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people. So they are always on the axis of the Lord's side. You know, but you have seen that because you have one walking here, right? He says, so listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I'll punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came out from Egypt. Now go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all their belongings, all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put them to death, men and women and children and infants and sucklings. Put them to the sword, and the cattle and the sheep and the camels and the donkeys. Wow, you live in a modern world of human rights. So you can imagine how this statement would resonate. Are we together? They would even say, what type of God is that? Which God is that? Say, I know his name. He's Jehovah, my friend. He is the God of Israel, the God of heaven. The one and only God. So you see, sometimes they say, no, I don't want to worship such a cruel God. He's saying, even the babies that are suckling the mother on the breast, nyang'anya and slaughter, put to the sword, my Lord. Even you, it's just easy to say, oh, you see, oh, yes, we have the Lord's side. What? But now, if you think about that, then you're beginning to say, hey, what an act also. To nyang'anya from the, to take the baby from the mother's breast suckling and slaughter the neck, to slash the neck. He said, put all to the sword, don't spare one. Even animal, cats and dogs, don't spare. Even chickens, slaughter them all. And don't bring anything out. The Lord wants to smash and finish the Amalekites. This is such a battle, right? It's a war with Israel, right? So Saul summoned all the men and mustered them to Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the knights, the Kenites, go away, leave the Amaleks, so that I do not slaughter you along with them. Hey!
get out of the way, my sword might cut you. You said that's bad. It's a upanga kali. It's a hot sword coming. He's saying anyone who is not involved, he's just stay out before I come, because I don't want this to catch you to catch you in it. Hey? The Lord has sent. The Lord has sent. The Lord has sent that you go slaughter. He said, even babies, remove from the mother's breast and stoop the sword. That is the Lord Jehovah speaking, my Lord. Verse 4. He summoned all of them, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 from Judah. Saul went into the city of Amalek, and then he set ambush there in the ravine. Then he said to the Kenites, go away from the Amalek, from the Amalekites, so that I do not cut you, I do not destroy you along with them. For you showed us kindness. Rather, you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. So the Kenites moved away from the Amalek. Can you imagine packing your luggages? You'll be told, just move out of that space. Meaning kutawaka pale. Yeah? You say bloodbath. Indeed it is. Hey. Open. It says verse 7. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur near the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally slaughtered, put to the sword, and he killed them all and destroyed them by his sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, and the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These were, they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed and put to the slaughter. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, I regret that I made Saul king, because he turned away from me, and he has not carried out my instructions. So Samuel was angry, and he cried aloud to the Lord all that night. Verse 12. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul. But he was told Saul had gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor, and has turned and gone down to Gilgal. So Samuel reached him and said, the Lord bless you. Now the prophet is speaking to the king, right? And he carried out, again, Samuel reached out to him and said, the Lord bless you. And then now the response from Saul, I have carried out the Lord's instructions, as if the prophet is blind. You see, many times it's amazing, because we get to see everything, everything. Let me tell you one thing. It's also overwhelming, because I get to know what people are thinking also. That when you mention this, this one was thinking like this, we'll dress like this today, we'll dress like that. Unbelievable. So, I've carried out the instructions of the Lord. But Samuel says, what is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing and mooing of cattle that I hear? Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice unto the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. Enough, Samuel said to Saul, let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night in the dream. Tell me, Saul replied. Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? the Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, go and completely wipe out and destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord of hosts? 29. But I did obey the Lord, said Saul. Always the people that have trouble with the Lord will always argue with the Lord. When you see anybody arguing with the prophets of this nature, then you always know, that is not going to end well. You know what? The lake of fire, it will end very badly. He doesn't know the Lord has spoken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now he is arguing with the Lord, right? And so he's saying, which verse was it? Verse what? 20. Yes, down here. But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. So now the devil is a liar. He makes you also now confess. He makes you like a fool. You are saying you finished everything, and he makes you also say what you did wrong, as though it's okay. So you try to justify evil. When you see somebody try to justify evil, you know there is a big problem. It is not going to end well. He's trying to justify and not knowing that the devil is making him foolish before the Lord by saying, I brought Agag their king. That is exactly the place where contention is, where there's a problem, right? And I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag their king. The soldiers took the sheep, the cattle from the plunder, and the best of what was devoted to God in order to sacrifice them unto the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as much as in obeying the Lord your God? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams, right? For rebellion is like sin, the sin of divination, and arrogance is like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. So you see that. So the argument, when he argued, the Lord said, you have rejected. Yes, it's done. So there's no conversation with you. Just shut him down. So he removed him. Once you just attempt to justify, right, you're done. The Lord is done with you. He said, verse 24, then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, I have violated the Lord's command and your instructions. All of a sudden now he understood that the instruction of the prophet is the Lord's instruction. Lord's command, actually, command. All of a sudden, no, it is too late. And then he said, now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back to me. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. So you knew if you come back, the people would think that he has favor, right? Because when you are seen with the prophet of God, they say, oh no, that one has favor with the Lord, right? So you will say, come back with me there that my people may see me with you. But it was done. It was done. But Samuel said to him, I'll not get back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe and so forth. This is serious. Why have I brought this in, doctors and medical practitioners and bishops, senior bishops? Why have I brought this in? Because the instruction was simple. Go and totally decimate, obliterate the Amalekites. But we find that he has saved one king called Agag. That is going to be a problem. Very big one. That is going to be an issue now from that point on. A serious issue that will determine life and death. Okay. Very serious, blessed people. And so, again, David also. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Can you focus on me for a moment? David also runs into this issue. Right before he became king, he has to fight the Amalekites. Do you remember when they came to Ziklag? Can I read it? Maybe it's better we read for even those who don't know, so they get it right. They can catch it. Came and found that the Amalekites have come. They have attacked and killed and taken hostages, women and children and other men. Like a real replica of what you see where? In Gaza. After that, I will now bring in the ministry. Hallelujah. Is somebody learning a thing or two? Because I thought I should be able to contextualize for you what you see in your news. So he's saying the following. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 30. So first of all, you see that Agag has been saved, right? Before we go anywhere, just that was disobedience to the Lord, and deadly disobedience. Let us go right away to the book of Esther chapter 3 before we come to 1 Samuel, right? 30. Esther chapter 3, the book of Esther. Has somebody seen it? Once you see it, you just read it. Once you see it, you do what? You read it. It is there for what? For reading. Esther chapter 3 from verse 1, we just went through. We may not finish it all. Can I read? It says, Haman's plot to destroy the Jews. Again, another moment when here they want to totally obliterate Jacob, the house of Jacob. Want to slaughter all and finish all and delete from the face of the earth the map of the world. This occasion is celebrated as Purim. Purim, remember that? And this is now happening in Iran. So you are going to be familiar with Ahmadinejad, whose news items you can see on your screen right over there. So, yeah, you see that now. Okay, I don't know why they're flashing like that. Hallelujah. And there are quite a few. There's one say wipe out. Yeah. Off the map. So this in Esther, this is happening now where? In Iran. Can you follow me with this on this one here? Can we go through this first before we go to Iran? The news, you see the Iranian leader calls for Iran leaders call to annihilate. And he let Israel sparks fury. There is wipe out. He says, wipe Israel off the map, Iranian leader. Israel should be wiped off the map. Before we go to the news you see on your screen, let's just read Esther chapter 3 verse 1 on. So you understand the fatal error. God always knows what is best for you. And I always worry about people that argue with God's instruction. Because he that created you knows what is best for you. And is telling you that this is what's best for you. And you're saying no, you're arguing, you're justifying your course, your direction. You can only end up in the lake of fire, right? It is very serious right now. It says, Esther chapter 3 verse 1, it says, after these events, King Xerxes honored Haman. Haman for H-A-M-A-N. Okay? Honored Haman, son of Hamedatha. Hamedatha. The Agagite. It was a fatal error. The Agagite. Now from the lineage of Agag. The descendants of Agag. If you had put him to slaughter, it would be done. And he says, let's look at what this Haman does. This is happening in Iran. His father is Hamedatha, the Agagite. And the king elevated Haman, giving him a seat of honor higher than that of all the other nobles. All the royal officials of the king's gate knelt down and paid honor to Haman, for the king had commanded this concerning him. But Mordecai, now that is now the Hebrew, Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor. Then the royal officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, why do you disobey the king's command? Day after day, they spoke to him and he refused to comply. Therefore, they told Haman about it to see whether Mordecai's behavior would be tolerated, for he had told them he was a Jew. When Haman saw Mordecai, that he would not kneel down and pay him honor, he was enraged. Verse 6. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the entire kingdom of Xerxes. To wipe out total, even child, even sucklings, put from the breast and put to the sword. This is serious. And so, and this goes on and on. Again, that's why I'm raising this, that you may understand the danger, the big mistake made by securing or saving Agag. Keeping him alive. He turns back and does what? Bite you. If you see a snake in the house and you don't kill it, you say, oh no, it's just somewhere. I think it's under the table somewhere. Just serve me food, I eat. It will bite you. It will bite you. If not today, it will be tonight or tomorrow. Aye. And so you see the same thing again. We're now in Ziklag. There's this whole situation. The Amalekites have come, taken women, taken children, taken other people, hostages. And now David, in shock, the people turn against him, right? And he asks, they say, "Won't our wives and children?" Then he goes to give me the effort. He wears, he goes before the Lord and cries to the Lord, "What should I do?" The Lord says, "Follow them now. You are going to find them and bring them back." Hallelujah. So now,
want to say the following. This same agenda of the Agagites, follow me now, to destroy Israel totally and obliterate, remove from the map, eliminate from the map. In fact, in New York, defiant Ahmadinejad says Israel will be eliminated. So now, over time, as peoples and populations moved and so forth, and you have different groups coming into Gaza, for example, some different groups from Turkey, different from the Balkans and wherever, all the groups that make up the populace there, right? But over time, as time went on, then you notice that this same agenda became a contagion on the earth. Whereby, and that's where I'm going to come in. Don't worry, now I'm coming closer home. This same agenda of wipe them out totally, finish them. This agenda of wipe them out became a global contagion. And right now where we sit, or where we stand is the right word, we are also staring at a huge global anti-Semitism. Don't take this lightly. This is serious. He said, go wipe them out, totterless child. Suckling also, pull out and put to the sword. The Lord Jehovah. And then now, you see that because he took Agag, then the tribe, the Agagites came out of there. And they have become an issue. So now, this agenda of wipe them out has become serious. Has infected the globe. It's not just now the Amalekites alone. Not at all. The ISIS are on it. Okay, they may share lineage or whatever. The Al-Qaeda are on it. Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab. At the same time, what I'm going to handle more critically, where you'll see now why the Lord has brought me here on the earth. I'm about to handle this today. Very sensitive. I've kept for 20 years. Then you'll find also, it spread out also to the Christians. Whereby, the greatest Christian nation in the whole earth, where Reformation was birthed out, my Lord. Martin Luther was in Germany. Out and also slaughtered. The purpose was, if you look at his manuscripts, the purpose was to wipe out every Jew. If you look at his manuscripts, the intent was to wipe out. That is what the Amalekites were saying, right? So the same agenda now has spread out. Now you see demonstrations where? In Sydney, Australia, New York City, in Washington, in Paris, in London. Everybody saying, no, no. They are the problem. We need to get rid of them. Oh. This same agenda, the contagion it caused from the Amalekites, is now global. You find the Brazilian leader talking like that. You saw. Yeah. Trying to equate it with Holocaust, my Lord. And yet, it is Israel that was attacked. And children put to the sword. Women raped, my Lord. Hey. Serious. Just focus on me. Don't focus on the screen. He's saying, that same agenda of wipe out has now spread globally. And that means we are now staring at what? The tribulation. I'm going to go step by step, just allow me. The greatest Christian nation on the earth, Germany, where Martin Luther was, Reformation was birthed out there. His thesis, his manuscripts are there. Even Christians now turned around
Jews to slaughter, saying we want to wipe them out. I will explain to you why the Lord has sent us. Okay? Shortly. You check around. Now, everybody is demonstrating. It is them, they are the problem of the world. Withdrawing ambassadors, what, everything, right? The cases are going on in the ICJ, the International Court of Justice, right? Yeah. Why did you respond when your people were slaughtered? It's unlawful for you to defend yourself. Step by step. So now, I want to slowly enter into the role of this ministry, into that scenario that has been well painted. The portrait is now clear. Isn't it, my quirky? Now the painting is very clear, right? So where does the ministry fit in now? Yeah. Hallelujah. And so, step by step now. Can we take a short break first? You guys can refresh for 10 minutes and come back. Then I'll begin this, right? Are you ready? Thank you. So in this second session, I want to look at a deeper aspect of all what we have seen. I want to look at deeper things, and this is going to touch on he that is speaking here and the ministry, right? So, once you get seated, you will be all right. We are live on air. We are now live on air. And so, blessed people, in this second session, I want to touch something very deep that will touch on the ministry regarding that painting that we have laid before the world right now. The painting, that portrait on what is happening in Gaza. We've not even touched the war in Ukraine, but now we touch the heart. Something that's touching Israel, right? And so that we could have touched coronavirus and the rest, but this is key. This is core. So here could be a very powerful launching pad for us, right? And so I want to touch on that entire event that the Lord has laid before you, the war that's going on. They were told that the enemy is there. He is there. And whenever, it's a matter of when he comes, not if, when he comes. When he comes, it is the Lord himself who will battle him and finish him, right? So that was said very clearly to them, but unfortunately, they didn't catch it well, right? Because in there were embedded instructions that the enemy is always there. Number two, that only the Lord will fight the enemy, right? Number three, that you are walking with God must be right also. So that the Lord be available all the time to fight the enemy on your behalf, right? So there was so much instruction in there. And then the modernism I laid before you there, the fact that you have technology, you have everything and everything. And so of late, I'm just going to lay out a little example here. Of late, there have been... So of late, this is what has been happening. They have been coming to seek counsel. And in this particular case, it was quite amazing because, I don't know, I'm live on air, but I can say it. They actually moved the embassy to where the prophet of the Lord was. Oh, yes. And put it was in writing. Yes. So they have been coming. And instruction
has been given in many places. And so, and some of them are not recorded because you did, okay, now even the president of the Jewish Council recently, they all come now to ask. So all of a sudden there is a move of the Lord, the president of the Jewish Federation, actually. Federation. Yes, so there is a move now. The Lord has made a move, right? For them to suddenly realize that there is an importance here. You understand? An importance here. And so, that is where I want to come in. Because the instruction was clear that from generation to generation, the enemy must come. Number two, that whenever he comes, it is the Lord who will smash him and obliterate him. Number three, which is the hidden instruction, don't ever forget what they did to you when they attacked you. Don't ever forget the damage they did when they attacked you. The seventh, they forgot, right? Are we together? Yeah, they forgot. So now, all of a sudden, it looks like there is a retracing of their path to where their help is, okay? Step by step. Okay, now. If they forgot, he said, he even wrote, I know so much I'm not sharing in this life. Really, this, if I wanted to sit down and just open on that, on the writing of those laws, I could say it here. Including writing, do not forget, three words. Do not forget. Do not forget that they attacked you and inflicted unbelievable damage. Unbelievable, right? Number two, do not forget that when they came, I am the one who attacked them and fought them back, right? Their hands up, right? I don't want to go into the deep. There's so much I could share. I could share because it's complicated now. Yes, now it's complicated. I lift up my hands to help you rise up and the cripples get up. Huh? Now it's a bit complicated. Do you understand? But I could have a long session with you on that. So that is the Lord himself fighting the battle. When the hands are lowered, they are losing. I could have taken you also to 2 Kings. But don't write it. Of course I've shared. I could have taken you also to 2 Kings. Where I met them, I laid it very clear to them because the Lord showed me in the dream as I was leaving. To meet them, and he gave me a red rose, of course, with thorns, and then the red flower and the leaves. And then he said, go to them, which is love, but they have to pass through judgment, right? So I could have also shared with you how in that dream, the prophet of the Lord told the king, take these arrows and strike them towards the east. The east. The east. You know who is there, right? Wants to wipe, right? Toward the east. And when he struck, but what you didn't understand, so when I was meeting the senior ones, I stood up. I stood up to demonstrate. Randy was in that meeting. I stood up and I said, that striking of the arrow, the Lord is telling me to tell you, to tell Netanyahu to strike the two missiles. That striking is saying, this is how it happened. Let me open to you what happened that you don't see in the Bible. And I stood up myself and I said that the king stood and did the bow and the arrow like this. Sharing with them in the embassy there. Yes, so I said the king stood and did the bow with the arrow like this towards the east. But what you don't see there is that the prophet of the Lord stood up and came and supported the hand of the king and told him, now you can strike. So in any case, it is the Lord doing the battle. It will be the Lord alone. It will not be technology. It will not be prowess and the dexterity of your hands, how you can quickly, or the nuclear weapons, or it will be the Lord. Once you will obey the Lord, everything will go right. So it looks like there is an understanding now. Now they're coming all the time to seek counsel, to transmit. So now, if they failed in that part, if they did not obey and did not listen, and they are not listening because of a given condition. Are we together? A given spiritual condition in the land. Today, you have one of the big gay pride parades in Tel Aviv. Today, each one of them, after the army, they go to the east. And I shook that mountain and reduced it by 1 meter, right? They go sit there and worship yoga. So if that is the spiritual condition, then now can we sort out how intervention will take place? The prophecy is given from here. The prophecy is active from here. You see it on your news, it's dreadful. So then, how does this ministry come in? Does the prophecy and fulfillment and go away? Can you give Janet some water to drink? Because sometimes I wonder whether she's crying or happy. Janet. Give her water to drink. So, yes. Now, step by step. This is going to be very deep tonight. Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 3, right? Acts chapter 3, step by step. Are you ready?
Yes.
You're like, do it, say it. We are ready. We've been ready since morning. Yeah. Look, we left our jobs, we're here. Just do it. Acts chapter 3. After which the meeting with the doctors will happen. But let me do this one today. I must do this. Okay. The book of Acts chapter 3, once you're there, you say amen. Verses 19 to 21, I'm reading right away. Acts chapter 3, 19 to 21, it says the following. Are you ready? It says, repent then and turn to God. He's speaking to who? Thank you so much. Who said it? To Israel. He's speaking to Israel. I know it applies to you very powerfully so, thank God. But he's speaking to Israel. He says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah. Now listen from there on. Who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Listen, 21 now, he says, 21 is key. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. That is it. He's saying that they have a savior. Powerful savior, right? The Lord himself, right? A fighter, a champion. He will come and fight for them, right? I don't want to go into Zechariah chapter 14 right now. Let's just focus here for now. And he's saying that savior will come. And we know he will rule from Jerusalem, right? And that's why this war taking place can never destroy Israel. Jerusalem, right? And that's why this war taking place can never destroy Israel. Never. Because the Messiah must reign from there, right? I
I've seen him reigning from there, so it's different, really. I've seen him even coming back there, so it's really different. It must take place, right? But listen to this, just for now, first of all, step by step. He's saying that when the Messiah was raptured up, that heaven must hold him there. He must be received and held there for some time until the restoration of all things. Can we read again verse 21? Are we together? It says, heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised by his holy prophets. That is serious. Now, can I add some? I'm going to explain everything. Don't worry. I'm going to add another scripture and another, and then I put together the four and just go for it. Right? Are we together? Yeah. Another scripture. Luke chapter 1. So here he has talked about the Messiah will come, right? The Savior will come to save them. Save, of course, the church. But I'm talking about them for a moment. Allow me today to link a little bit. A little bit, right? It will give you a broader understanding, a better understanding of the condition of the church and this mission on the church, right? Are we still together? Okay. Now, the book of Luke chapter 1, verse 17. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. And this is just introduction for me to now enter into what I want to share. This move of God on the earth, what is the message, right? I said Luke 1, what? 17. Okay, we read together. And it says, Luke chapter 1, verse 17. It says, and so remember, this touches on he who is speaking with you. That's what I said. So it's very critical, very sensitive. I said, I sit down in the gazebo with the inner team and I share with them alone. This should have been one of you reading it if you were capacitated and doing it. I say, no, the Lord has said this. But I say, this is what the Lord has said now. Let's just go for it, right? Luke chapter 1, 17. And he will go before the Lord and in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous and to make ready a people prepared unto the Lord. That is the archangel speaking. That is the archangel speaking now. That's Gabriel, you know that, right? He's speaking to Zechariah. You know this, right? And he's telling him, do you remember the one I met at the throne room? That principle is coming. That when that principle comes, he goes, today you have to follow me very carefully because I've never taught this, I'll not do it again. I don't know whether I'll do it again. And all the bishops who are tuned in are saying, wow, don't say that. We are the main council, we're not there. Whatever. But they are tuned in now, right? So, that principle, I'm meeting at the throne room, right? Remember at the end of it, he came and walked in me, yeah? Into me. I didn't finish today. I just took what we needed for today and I handled here, right? How Netanyahu came on and how he said, like what we did to the Amalekites, right? But listen, he's saying that principle is coming, John the Baptist, and is coming with my spirit, says the Lord. Just listen to this. He's coming with my spirit. And he's saying, the type of duty he's coming to do, his job description is laid right there. Very clean and clear. Everybody can read it. He said, this today, leo ni leo. For 20 years I longed to do this. Now I can do this. And when I do this, you will now have a bigger picture. You will stop the selfishness. Whereby if you see me going where, you don't want me to go to this country, you don't want me to go and do healing service, you don't want me to go and meet who? No, 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 no. There is a bigger picture. Please allow me. Right? So he's saying, this principle is coming. That is coming, and I'll take you back to the throne room and the status of the spirit of he that speaks with you at the throne room. And then I'll, from the throne room, I'll draw for you the timeline, the cascade. You'll see that there is a first coming, which we are talking about here. When he's coming to die, that the spirit of he speaking with you is the only one that can go ahead of you and prepare the way for him. Did you understand properly? Can I repeat it? I will take you back. When I keep talking about the Ark of the Covenant of the throne, and the cloud came and God told me to move and put my head and look at the inside of the Ark, the lightning strike 3 times, and God spoke with me, and the cloud went up there and opened like this, which I cannot share, and face to face like a friend speak to a friend. Today I've shared, right? It looks like I've just shared, right? Now today I will open up. From, I will give you the status of the spirit of he who speaks now, here, inside heaven in the throne room. And then I'll draw for you, look, the cascade of the prophetic timeline like this, and mark for you the first half, and mark for another one, and then you will see the significance of the spirit of he that is here across the entire spectrum of timeline. Yeah. I like the silence. Doesn't that allow me now to move? The silence is very powerful now. Listen. Huh? He's saying, the job description is clean and clear. Given there. What is he coming to do? Can someone read? I can read it. Let me read it for you so they can hear it live. But when he comes with the spirit of he that is speaking, so he's saying that there are different comings of the Messiah, right? Just hold on. Focus. Focus. And he's saying, he's coming with the spirit of him who is speaking here to turn the hearts of the parents to their children. Some versions maybe will say fathers, right? Maybe you have a version that says fathers. Don't worry about that. Today we must clean up the whole earth. Tonight, here. With the medical team. Clean up the earth. They must get it tonight. Randy. Show Kakamega rain, I see. And fast. In 1 minute and then another rain. Now, the Kakamega rain is that one playing? Okay. And then, look at that. Look at that. Look, this is incredible that the earth has arrived here. Right? Yeah, this is very shocking. Everybody was so shocked they fell down. Some collapsed. Some just collapsed. Janet is here. Was there anybody in Kakamega other than Janet on that day? Or you were there? Who are you? What's your name? Esther? Toritich, you were there, my daughter. You were in the field. Blessed are you eternally. The first one. The June 5th, that is serious. People just collapsed out of shock. Out of shock, people just collapsed. And then the Holy Spirit began to touch them also. Out of the shock of it. And then, can you put now Njoro? My quickie was there. Njoro, I remember. You were there. And it was drought. There was no rain. Animals, carcasses, smell, stench, death in the land, right? And they said, no, when I come here, I'm going to open here. I'm going to show you where rain comes from, right? He said things, right? Yeah. Why is he not showing the Njoro rain? We don't have time. We have 16 rains. And then the cloud, look at the touch people. Look, the wind came. Yeah, the rain already. The rain already. The rain already. He stood up, called him. Instantaneously. Instant. And then, Oh, yeah, yeah, look, look, look. And the wind touched people there. My quaker was there. So it was very powerful. And then the rain fell. And then now, go to Elder Maravin. We could do that all the way up to Ahmednagar. We could.
Mighty tremendous.
Was this that a movie? Was that for dancing? That's why today I need to. One of these is dreadful, my Lord. It's unbelievable. One of these things, this guy has the key to heaven. He will admit you or not. So today I want to inject in a little bit of gravity and sovereignty. Other than the dancing in the rain and what, I want to inject in a little bit of seriousness now. The message, the bigger picture. I think he's playing, yeah, okay, Abidjan, what, everywhere playing, even Kisi, everything, right? Hallelujah. So, the spirit of he that is speaking, so when he's doing so, he's telling, hey, you remember in the dream, he takes me up the shoulder, my shoulder touched, who talks that? Who talks like that? That my shoulder up in heaven. The meeting in Central Park is about to happen. I think 2 weeks to go. He takes me up. He shows me that meeting already. His shoulder touched my shoulder. And he points. He said, look, that is him. He called by name. He calls him by his name. That is him. Be careful now. Be careful now. That is he. Exactly him. That is he. And then he makes me also point. So we both point like this. And that day, you saw what happened after when the meeting came. So now we need to go through this. This has not been moving. No. Shaking the sun. Shaking the neutron stars. Walking and creepers like you're going to see in Menengai 6. Creepers walking with a shadow. You see Brazil, Cabo Frio.
Look at that.
That's why I'm here. So he's now saying, today we must do this. We must. Yes. So the instruction is simple. To calm the hearts of the fathers. Put on
the
even a child can open and read, right? To calm the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, of the righteous. Very clean mission, clear, right? But for him to do that, he has to take the spirit of he who is here. And when he's doing that, I don't want to say ati. No, I don't want to use this. He said, when he's doing that, that is the way he's preparing the way. In the book of Acts, chapter, don't write that, we've read it. Chapter 3, verse 21, it says, until everything has been restored. So this is the restoration that was promised. And remember, I'm going to turn with you to the book of Matthew 17 also. And I know events I don't share here. I know so much of the events of the mountain of transfiguration, even the conversation. I know very well. But after that they asked a question we're going to look at, right? Hey, then why is it said that he must come back? We've just seen him, right? And then the answer was given to them. So let's just continue step by step. So he must do what? Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. That's very powerful. Those are groups of people. Groups of people. Remember, we have come from the war in Gaza, right? The condition of Israel. Don't forget that, right? We are coming from the condition of Israel. We're saying, how does this fit in there? Why did you give the prophecy? How does it fit in there? Why did you give the prophecy? Now that's fulfilled. What's the message? Then it's here now, right? Then Malachi chapter 4, as we are there. Again, can I just, please just help me. Let me mention the group of people. The fathers, and
the children,
the disobedient and the righteous, or the just. The four groups there, right? Just focus on me. Today you will know it was not a Kenyan ministry, my Lord. It was not. I've struggled with this for 20 years. I said, I must do it now. I must do it. Go to Malachi chapter 4. Are we ready? The last book in the Old Testament. So what is he saying? First of all, just a moment before you go to Malachi. I'll just focus on this. Sometimes I need your eye contact. He's saying that the Messiah would come to go die. Right? To go die on the cross. But the preparing of the way would require the spirit of he that is here now. Listen to that. Meaning the task would take the... Oh, I don't want to go too much again. Because I'm going to come to a second level. I don't want to preempt it, right? Listen to this now. That principle, John would carry that spirit of he that is speaking here today. That is going around opening heaven and doing all these things in your eyes. Calling the cloud and everything. Require, focus on me, that spirit to do that task.
Look at that.
And when he comes, he's coming to die, right? On the cross. Now, you will find that there is another coming. If I turn with you now to Matthew 17, which we will, you see that the Lord there alludes to two comings. And one of them he says, John will prepare. And the other he says that I will appear and do these things. Two comings. Just step by step first. Four groups of people. Let's go now to Malachi chapter 4. Today is not a joke. I wanted this, they call it in camera or out of camera. When you're out of camera totally, it's called out of camera or in camera. Sasa tena uko ndani yake. Inakuangaza, inakumulika, sindio? And you are in it. Thank you, I teach you, my son. A little drama sometimes will help me here. My journey is long, right? So what are you seeing? This is chapter 4. We saw the principle I'm speaking with at the throne. We are going to Jerusalem, right? All these things, right? That principle that you will come and prepare. But if you check carefully, he is essentially from the Old Testament. Because he appeared before Christ came. What is someone has said it? Connect it. Yes, said it. Thank you, my God. Bless you, Tony. Connect it. He is connecting the Old Testament. This is deep today. Let's keep medical things aside first. He's connecting. He appears before the world. To share about myself and ministry, this mission for 20 years. I wanted to share this. That's why I said, if I look at the events in the throne room in heaven, and the status of the spirit of he that speaks here now, and the prophetic timeline, he overrules the entire timeline. Because now, before the first coming to go and die, before the first coming, Esther, to go and die,
The principle we are talking about, John comes carrying my spirit. To accomplish that job, he needs this authority. Number two, before the Messiah comes now for the church, I have arrived. This spirit must be reigning on the earth that has enough capacity to prepare the people, right? But I have also seen after the rapture and the tribulation. And then he said, the witnesses of the light. Because there was too much darkness after the church is taken. And then only when he was coming, when he showed us, look, now he is coming. Within the great tribulation now. So look, now he is coming. Before we exit the sin. Then the Lord says, a witness to the light that is coming. My voice. So throughout the entire timeline. Yeah. Important throughout the entire timeline. So please, there are things I want to share. I have not even begun. I'm just doing this. There are things I want to share. We need to get deep tonight. Huh? So that other than just dancing in the rain, celebrating cripples, which is powerful, which is okay, it's good to do it. If you don't do it, something is wrong, right? But now, what is the message that you can take home, say, I'm taking this home. This one is for eternity. Now I understand better. Now I understand this. Kumbe is too big. Kumbe is bigger than Kenya. Kumbe, we are just privileged to be in it. So now. Now look at this now. So that was John now connecting, right? He's connecting, right? But if you look at this one also, what I'm about to read, Malachi chapter 4 verse 6. I know you want me to read 5, but 6. 5 is talking about me. But 6, it's also amazing for the Bible to talk about somebody and then he appears, my Lord. That is also amazing. Because that is like waiting for the Messiah and then he does what? He arrives, my Lord. And now, especially this one is related to the coming of the Messiah anyway. Hallelujah. So, now, give me a free hand, okay? So, in Malachi 4, 6, I know you want to say 5 and 6, that's alright. Even 4, 3, you can start from 3. But in Malachi 4, 6, where I want to measure, you will see that that is the last verse in the old. And the Lord is speaking to the prophet Malachi about me. That sometimes I need silence. But he's speaking at the end of the Old Testament. As you enter a new dispensation, that he is going to come back where? In the New Testament, my Lord. Yeah. That is it now. He's going to do what? To do what? To bridge the what? Old Testament to the new. No wonder the clouds. No wonder the judgment. No wonder the plagues. No wonder the vicars. No wonder the Ebola. No wonder the corona. No wonder the wrath of earthquakes. No wonder striking, operating as prophets of the Old Testament, my Lord. In where? The New Testament. Now, I'm mentioning this for a reason, because there is a job description saying that coming to restore. Coming to restore. So these are mentioned very powerfully because they're going to anchor what we are going to discuss. Bring the locusts, my Lord. Did you understand now? Now connecting the New Testament, what? You can tell, I don't want to say this like this. You can now tell where I'm headed to. That something is wrong. That must be fixed. Again, I'm saying, literally taking the church of Christ and finally connecting her to the ancient God of Israel, my Lord. No, please say good. I like silence on this matter. If you will, taking the church of Christ and connecting her finally to the kingdom of God. My Lord. My Lord. This is serious. So can I now start flowing? Allow me a free hand now after that preamble. Okay, thank you. So now, turn with me now that I've mentioned those three preambles. Now, are you happy that you're here tonight? Because for 20 years I kept this like a bottled up with this pressure. But today I give it to the world. It's live on radio. Because they have seen me, Ahmed Nagar, Belém, Wea, Lima, Peru, doing this. Just one incident is not a joke. Rain is not a joke, my Lord. You cannot, to stand on the earth, my Lord, on the soil of this, on the soil of this, and on this soil of this, to speak to the Lord, not in a closet, not in a closet. Facing where? Up. And your hand is up. And when they drop here, they listen to you. They are shocked. This guy is actually talking to God himself. When they move close to listen, you are actually talking to God aloud. And you are telling God to open heaven and bring rain here now. And then look, the shock of it that should make you fall down. And God listens and brings rain here now. That's what I'm talking about. This is not a joke. So today I need to talk. Because now the manifestation, the identity, my biblical identity is now right there. Right there. Everybody can now see. Even a child, even a babe. So now, can we start now? So we have read the book of Luke chapter 1:17, the principle that will take on my spirit. Remember? To go prepare. That is the first coming. Coming to die. Must. My spirit must. Oh, let me put it for you this way. Let me just walk this way. When look at the rains. The many rains. Many. One alone in the Bible is a milestone. It's a whole monument, right? The many rains in this age. Modern. Before we read, when you look at the rains, what does that sound to you? What does that look to you? I know it's a celebration and everything, but is that all? What does that speak to you? There's something very severe there, right? Because the time I did this in the other life, and remember one night again, he repeated, remember the events there? Remember I shared with, I don't know whether all, it looks like I've shared with all. Remember the sword? Yeah, the middle part of the sword is dark, rubber heavy, and the shiny part, the shiny is curved. And then I told all of them to lie down. Remember? This way, rather. This direction. Lie down. And when they lay down, I told them face down all. But the third one moved his head, right? So I began with the third one. And the whole night, I was covered with blood over. Then I woke up. He normally takes me back. Now, when you see the rain, what do you see? What does it speak to you? This is, before we read, this is what it should speak. That time Israel is fallen. That time Israel has lost direction. That time Israel is not worshipping their God anymore. That time Israel is worshipping idols. That time immorality has come in, prosperity and what and fall and apostasy has consumed the land. There's a monumental fall of God's covenant people. It is so bad. Idol worship is in the throne. He's on the throne, by the way. It is so bad. The false prophets are marauding across the land, my Lord. And the Lord is saying, and then of course I shut the heaven, and that should tell you about this opening also, the authority the Lord is displaying there, meaning he will shut it, right? But he's saying this. When you see that thing, he's saying, and I take you back in time first, so you understand now, take you back in time first, so you understand this hour. He's simply saying that it took the anointing
of he that sits here, that is standing here now, huh? And the authority of he that is standing here now, and the figure, my Lord, even figura, I'm talking about the figure. The kind of figure that can go and demolish that apostasy and take 12 stones and put the 12 stones for the 12 tribes of Israel and call on the God of Israel and respond by fire and respond to them and come back to them again. It takes the anointing, the spirit, the authority, even the stature, the figure, everything, personality also. Only that is able now to restore. Before we read. So when you look at the rain, now you know. The Lord is not just going around the countries 1 month, 1 year, 8 months, right? Going across countries doing this to show the world a movie. Is that true? No. It's dreadful. It is about his fall, my Lord. That it will take only him. Only his stature, only his figure, only his personality, only his person, only his anointing is able now to restore that. Yeah. When you put the dancing aside also a bit, then we handle the matters. Are we now together? Can I now start the journey now? Litunda. Blessed Senior Bishop Chuck. Mheshimiwa Kabingu, Wandera is where I almost say Wandera, but now Wandera he can do like this. You say I promise my mom I won't change seats again, right? Don't worry about that. you are taking portions. Amalek refused to forgive that kind of thing. He's saying it takes everything about him alone and only him to restore. And if you look at what he says it takes of him to restore, the power is unbelievable. Astronomical. Neutron stars are colliding. Nations are being struck with earthquakes. What meaning? Building, tumbling lakes, what ocean, tsunamis. Aye! My Lord! You just walk into a meeting and cripples are getting up from every direction, my Lord. The sun is clapping, my Lord, at Central Park. What is that? So then you understand, you say, the Lord, you are right. His personality, his person, his stature, his anointing, his spirit, alone, only him, can now restore that type of fall and bring back the fire of God in the worship of Yahweh and restore a people that they may remember the Amalekites. What is that? What is the show? We have the sun clapping for a beautiful meeting. Look, it was such a beautiful meeting. Look at that. Beautiful meeting. You see the beautiful meeting on there. You see Jenny Chaka is there, looking at the sun, clapping. Eh? You see my son Zachary is there also looking at the sun, clapping. And my son, and who else? And Hope TV, right? And other, there are many bishops here, right? Yeah. Live. Everybody's looking at the sun clapping. Yeah. He say, only he has that authority to restore that fall. That amount of power, astronomical. Like nuclear power. Yeah. Look at Linda. Linda is there. Oh, Njoro. My son Njoro is there. Huh? And Linda is talking about it, right? Linda is taking his phone to record it, right? The sun is doing, it's greeting us. I mean, yeah. So then, can we now walk into this so that you may be well informed from today on and know that it's not a Kenyan ministry? Okay? That kind of power that shakes the sun, my Lord. And if I want, I can tell him that when I'm coming to Meningai 6, he should also shake. If I want, my Lord. Did you hear the word, if I want? I. At 1 year, 8 months, I'm at Nagar, that if I arrive, I won't call. I will not call rain. Just my presence, right? Yes. So now, can we now move? So now, we have seen already
Luke chapter 1 verse what? 17. The angel Gabriel is what? Speaking, the archangel. He's speaking Zechariah that he will come, but he will be given the power of he that is speaking here. At that time we are still in heaven. He will be given that power, and only that authority can he be able to prepare the way for the Messiah. Now, jokes aside, yeah, the mission of God, now we can talk about it now. Dancing is good. All that is good. You cannot fail to celebrate. But can we get deep now and more serious about this? Yeah. Hallelujah. And so he says here, Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. You can read the verses, the verse 5 he promises me right there, which is amazing. Malachi is finishing the prophecy in the Old Testament and is promising the New Testament, right? That a connector is coming, right? That he must come and connect you to the kingdom of God. He must come and... Why do I say kingdom of God? Because he must come and connect you to the God of Israel. He must come and connect you to the Old Testament. Do you understand why I said to the kingdom of God? The Old Testament is Israel. Israel is the kingdom of God. You know that. Israel is the kingdom of God. Even the New Jerusalem is named after Israel. Yes. In fact, originally the kingdom only, they perceived it as belonging to them. Can I just walk through this? Malachi chapter 4, the final verse in the Old Testament, right? Promising who? He that is here, my Lord. Yes, other than his brother, tumekula ugali na yeye tumecheka. Aya. Okay. Now you can see. This separates Kenya from it now. That we ate together, we ate meat and barbecue together, we laughed together. Not at all. Scripture promising that I would come back. And no wonder, to connect the New Testament back to the Old Testament, to the earth, the people, the church, to the God of Israel, to... Oh, I don't want to touch what I'm about to say. Let me cut it right there. It's the main theme. To connect back to the kingdom, to the God of Israel. Yeah. Promise. And then show up and do the Old Testament things. That is serious. The Old Testament things, and 20 million get buried. COVID. Huh? And locusts do what they're doing, and the God of the Old Testament come in the cloud of the Old Testament, my Lord. Huh? And just envelop me, just to affirm, and to point with the white cloud like this, and to point with God the Holy Spirit and the protocol of the Messiah. He didn't want them to get it wrong. So, remember where it began from, the war in Gaza, and the fact that there is a spiritual condition accruing there for them to forget the Amalekites, and to forget that Yahweh is the one who fights for them, to end up with that kind of raid. Then where? And then you see the lot of emissaries coming, right? So where does this fit in? We gave the prophecy. Does it end there? It's fulfilled. It's in the news. It's right on every breaking news. So now, the message, which is about open now. I'm about to bring you the message. Malachi chapter 4 verse 6, I'm reading now. The last verse in the Old Testament promising that this principle speaking here would come back. And his duty. Look at the duty that I am coming. Hey. So today you are going to wake up. I know I bless you, my sons. I bless you, my daughters, right? I do that really with all my heart, right? But please, I just want to do the bigger picture also, right? Yes. He says that when the principle speaking comes, promised in verse 5, verse 6, he says, did you say verse 6 that you sent my spirit? No. The spirit? No. Not at all. The person, the personality, the figure, the character, the anointed, the spirit, the himself, to execute the duty. But look at the duty. The duty is open. Everybody can see that it's task assignment.
That's why I really want to come in. That's where we come in. Somebody, please. That's where we come in. That's where we come in. So that you may stop sleeping. Just give it to him. Yeah. Behind you there. Behind you. Yeah. Give it to him. So you may stop sleeping. Thank you. So, I said it's long, but it's important. Verse 6. The task, the duty of this mission on the earth, the mission of God on the earth. Malachi chapter 4 verse 6. He says, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Your version might say of the parents, right? No problem. Of the parents to the children, right? Are you seeing the task? The duty is well defined. Cannot be mistaken about it. It's printed in the Bible, right? Yeah. To turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I'll come and strike the whole earth to total destruction. Meaning, when I come, I must succeed. Yeah. I must succeed. This mission of God must succeed, must be successful. Otherwise, you will obliterate the earth, my Lord. My Lord. Oh, yes. I want to bring a little seriousness today into this. The cripples and everything, beautiful. The stars colliding and everything. The rain, oh, that's awesome. The cloud, the blind can see. Walk in the shadow of God. Awesome, in the night, my Lord. In Cabo Frio. And all of a sudden, you pass like this, you think he has not touched them. When turn like this, a lot of blind eyes and deaf ears. Eh? Eh? Yes, yes. So that is not a joke. So I just wanted to lay gravity on this. Now you see the mission for that anointing. I remember we were meeting in a boardroom somewhere, some pastors in India. I know they are tuned in now. And they are watching, Randy is displaying it on the big screen of that boardroom, of that hotel. And they said, man of God, this kind of anointing we have never seen in the Bible. This is too serious. This is too out of the... This is extremely serious, please. How should we respond to this? Yeah. Now the mission. Now the instruction. I said today is a serious day. We might even call for another day to meet about medicine and everything. In Nakura, I might just send instruction, really. No, this is very... But I will tell you some things at least before you go, 5 to 10 minutes, right? No, this is serious. The job description, the task assignment is well laid out, very clean. Very clear and clean. And you say, the last verse in the Old Testament, promising that he that speaks here now would come back, my Lord. And now you have quickly understood that to come and bridge the New Testament to Israel. I can't believe I've said it finally. To Israel. And in that way, because Israel is the kingdom of God, to connect the church to the kingdom of God finally. By connecting the church to the God of Israel. Very serious. You prayed for me, I got school fees. You prayed for me, I got a new job. That's powerful. I want more. I'm going to decree even more tonight. But there is a mission. There is a mission beyond that. Look now. He will turn the hearts of the fathers, the parents, to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I'll come and strike the whole earth to total destruction. Meaning, this mission must be successful, must, otherwise it will destroy the entire earth. Meaning, if anybody does not obey this, they face God's destruction. My Lord, if anybody does not obey this mission, this instruction here, this command at this hour, they face total destruction, says the Lord of hosts. Meaning, if anybody ever tries to oppose, my Lord, oppose this awesome, noble mission of God, they face total obliteration by Yahweh himself, my Lord, himself. Meaning, if anything happens, any country does not receive them, they face total destruction by God. It is printed there by the Lord himself. You now tell me about your democratic space in Scripture. Yeah, the most democratic space in salvation. Where do you find it? When he says, go to the Amalekites, remove babies from their mother's arms, suckling, and put to the sword. Does that sound to you like human rights? Or democracy? He's simply looking at Israel. Because it moved from where? The covenant of redemption moved from the God of Abraham, from Abraham, Isaac to Jacob. That's all God is seeing. If everybody wants, they must join that lineage. He didn't say, no. You are being unfair. You are abusing the rights of Esau. You're abusing his rights, his human rights. Because hunger is universal. And now you're punishing him for being poor, for being hungry. Did he say that?
No.
Not at all. Not at all. He's simply looking at the lineage of what? The redemptive plan of salvation. If you want to be part of it, the kingdom, that's the kingdom. You must join that lineage. That is severe. That is serious. Believe you me, I would have wanted to be outside where there is fresh air. But, you know, we're soon going to get the AC from these people. At least two ACs, right? He's saying that there is a group of people, we have seen that defined of the mission of whom, on whom I put my spirit in the first coming. We have seen the groups of people. It's the fathers, the children, the disobedient, the just, or righteous. We saw. Now we are seeing another group. Again, definition here. Are you now understanding me properly? It was important. Oh, I hope you don't have surgeries tomorrow, please. Please, I hope. Because you'll put me under pressure. Please don't do that. Oh, if you don't have, then that's good. Because I just want to flow on this. Because I want to take it to the end. So I may never teach it again. Then, can we look at the type of people? In this particular mission here, in verse 6, Malachi chapter 4. In Malachi 4, it says, the fathers, you could have equated them to what? The wisdom of? They just, the parents. The fathers normally are wise. That's just a normal thing. You don't have to think about that, do you? The children tend to be the what? Huh? The disobedient, right? Where are you living? Are you living on the earth? I think there are mothers and fathers here, right? Yes. The fathers are normally known to be what? The wise. Okay, so thank you for that. So let us handle this. There are groups of people mentioned there. Today I want you to walk with me from this point on very carefully, right from here now. From here now, I want you to be very careful how you walk. Because I don't want to lose you anywhere. Because I'm going to go into the deep now on this, so that you understand this mission. Yeah. Into the deep. Total deep. He say, in a normal natural sense, the fathers are supposed to be equitable to the what? The wise, the wisdom of the just. And the children are supposed to be equitable to the disobedient. Can I begin from there? Because I'll juxtapose it in a moment. You'll see how the movement on the prophetic timeline changed it. But for now, just stay with this. Right? I'm going to have you answer yourself. Right? So, first of all, what is the job description? What is the mission that must be achieved? Can I just say it again? Number one,
Turn the hearts of the fathers, the children. Number two, turn the hearts of the disobedient to the just, to the wisdom of the just. Number three, make ready a people prepared unto the Lord. I'm simply quoting verse 17 of Luke chapter 1, right? But it's really the same thing he's talking about here, right? Are we still together? And so I want us to continue in that breath, whereby the fathers, we are for now, putatively, we are now equating them, equalizing them to the wisdom of the just. Now, I am going to have you answer yourself, because you are having many questions now. All the neuroganglions and ganglia, what are they? What are they in the brain? Electrical circuits of the brain are rushing up and down right now, right? The ganglia, the connecting. What? If you look at the electrical activity of the brain right now, it's amazing here. They're like, what is next, right? I don't have an electroencephalometer. Something where I can put an electrode here, put an electrode there, I can read on the screen. I would love it. Hallelujah. The chief psychiatrist say, yeah, I don't want to say much, lest I go across the lines. So you are going to answer yourselves, because he's saying we are now equating the fathers to the wisdom of the just, of the righteous, because that's the natural thing, right? And we are taking now the children to be the disobedient, right? So let's see the mission that this principle has then. Based on that, can we make some definitions? So you answer yourself first, right? John chapter 6, verse 31. Are you together with me? You are now going to answer yourself, right? John chapter 6, verse 31. Are we together? Hallelujah. And he's saying, John chapter 6, 31, he says, our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Can you read King James, Randy? Very fast. Or somebody read King James to the microphone right now. John 6, 31. Here it says, our ancestors. I want you to read it for yourself in King James. You will hear that the microphone it worketh not. Because it's not King James language, by the way.
Says that our fathers did eat.
Our fathers, my Lord. Our fathers. So now I'm entering into definitions. Who are these fathers that are wise? That this mission is meant to connect them to their children. Are we together now? Please walk with me. I said here you have to walk tight with me. Don't lose me. Right? Our fathers ate manna. So he's saying that the fathers are not necessarily fathers or biological fathers, but fathers are a generation that came first, and for the church, he said, let me stop there. Let me first go in the line I'm following, whereby I'm saying the fathers like Father Abraham, hallelujah, amen, the generation of patriarchs, the patriarchs of Israel. Oh, I did not say patriarchs of Kenya. Why? Don't put my neck to the slaughter, please. Don't do it. Don't do it here. Huh? I said patriarchs of Israel. Amen. The patriarchs of Israel. We know them, right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Noah, the prophets. But you know them, my Lord. You didn't know why all your texts, when you write to us, you only say, my lords and my fathers. You didn't understand why you do that? You did not know that? Really? And you wrote all texts, all are like that. Hey, the patriarchs of Israel.
saying, okay, so this is serious. This is very serious. Yeah. So he's saying they're fathers. And when you think about it very well, Abraham came from an idol worshipping community. And then it was revealed to him Jehovah for the first time. And he carried it successfully. And passed on to Isaac. And passed on to Jacob. And passed on through to where I want to reach now. Until it arrives to you. Amen. To you.
So you are going to understand the fathers that need to be connected to the children. I think you got it already. Do you understand the shaking of hands, the words coming all the time, eh? The president of Jewish Federation, what, everybody coming, huh?
Without that, he will destroy the earth, he says.
Oh, so it was not a Kenyan affair. Has Senior Deputy Bishop, Bishop Helen arrived here? This is beautiful stuff he has missed, but we can do it again. So, just focus on me.
He was an idol worshipper. Worshipping idols, in fact, I think he used to sell idols, right? He used to make them and sell them, right? Like selling gods. Supermarket, right? A supermarket, was it Macharia or you? A supermarket that sells gods. It's a mall, actually, a mall. Eh? A mall, a big mall full of only gods. That's where people go buy. If you're tired of this god, you want to buy another god, you buy. Abraham was that kind of character. And then God revealed himself to him. And he began to worship Jehovah, building him altars. And he faithfully and successfully transmitted until today you are sitting here worshiping Jehovah, my Lord. Did you understand the fathers? Did you understand the wisdom of the fathers? Rather the fathers being the ones with the wisdom of the just? I am going to go deep. This one is very deep. I'm going to go different calibers, levels tonight. We're going to go to levels. Tonight. And so, in this, so now there are many. Can we just read through? You'll see. Do you remember at one point when Stephen is being persecuted and Paul is being persecuted? I could go to Acts chapter 7, verse 2, 7. Let's just jump there or whatever. So, and instead of fighting them, he said, no, fathers, please, fathers of Israel. He called them fathers. The nation of Israel, we are going to see later, are the fathers. Sasa iko maneno. Sasa iko. Iko. Sindio? Iko. Because you worship the God of Israel. Before I go any further, do you remember that that Christ is Jewish? Christ is Jewish. We worship a Jewish Messiah. Can you put that speech? He observed the Jewish Passover, the Shabbat, and all the Jewish festivals. This is what, in fact, really is amazing. That this is what I gave in the Senate. This is the speech I gave in the Senate in Brasilia. Really, really is amazing that this is the core. We can't, not volume, nothing. We can't do nothing.
Was raised in a Jewish family.
Can you start
a
You see it. When you see it, you are able to do something about it. We are not able to do something about it. You see it, we see it, but you are able to do something about it.
Speaker of this session today. Vossa Excelência, o presidente desta sessão hoje. And also
please with me saying, Your Excellency, the Speaker of this session, Sua Excelência, those are excellencies.
Recognize the presence of the ambassador.
Gostaria também de reconhecer a presença da Sua Excelência, o embaixador de Israel,
Daniel
Zohar,
and also the president of the group, parliamentary group.
E também a presidente do grupo parlamentar da Câmara,
o deputado
federal,
Padovani, and also recognize the senior excellencies that have joined us here today.
Também reconhecendo as vossas excelências que estão nesta mesa alta.
Your Excellency, the Speaker of this session today.
Sua Excelência, o presidente desta sessão de hoje.
Today serves as such a great honor to come into this session.
Seremos com honra hoje de podermos estar aqui nesta sessão
to recognize the 75th anniversary of the formation of the State of Israel.
Para conhecer os 75.
After this introduction, we're going to now come to it, to the part that I want. Okay.
Vamos à independência, à criação do Estado de Israel.
It's rooted in our minds after reading the creation of Israel.
É bastante vivo nas nossas mentes depois da criação do Estado de Israel.
The
tremendous work that David and Gurion did.
You are playing it already. Remember, you were playing it already.
Eu quero submeter aqui Sua Excelência, o presidente da mesa.
That Israel sits at the very center of humanity.
Que Israel senta no centro de toda a humanidade.
And that those who profess Christianity.
E que aqueles que se dizem confessar o cristianismo.
And follow Jesus Christ.
E seguem Jesus Cristo.
The first thing I want to bring to your attention is that Jesus Christ was raised in a Jewish family.
A primeira coisa que eu quero aqui levantar é que Jesus foi criado numa família judaica.
And in that Jewish family, they were very strict. They followed all the Jewish rules and
laws. E naquela família judaica, eles foram muito rigorosos e seguiram todas
as leis
judaicas e leis.
And that's why on the eighth day he was taken to the temple.
É por isso que ao oitavo dia ele foi levado ao templo.
And so they did with him everything that is required in the law.
E todos os costumes requeridos na lei foram feitos.
And he grew up in a strict Jewish family.
E ele cresceu numa família judaica estrita.
Where they observed Shabbat.
Onde observaram o sábado.
And they also celebrated all the feasts of Israel.
E também tendo celebrado todas as feitas de Israel, festas de Israel.
And so, for the Christians globally,
e portanto para os cristãos globalmente,
speaking here from this assembly in Brasília,
falando daqui desta assembleia de Brasília,
Your Excellency the Speaker,
Sua Excelência o Presidente da Mesa.
I want to raise the importance of the fact that our relationship with Israel is very central in our worship as Christians.
Eu quero aqui levantar a questão de que a nossa relação com Israel é muito importante na nossa marcha com Cristo.
As you are all aware, God chose Israel as his people.
Conforme vocês todos sabem, Deus escolheu Israel como seu povo.
And that is an incontestable sovereign choice of God.
Este é uma escolha incontestável de Deus.
And that choice, if you honor the Lord, you would honor that choice also.
E se você honra o Senhor, você também vai honrar esta soberana escolha de Deus.
And that's why our Lord and Savior came from the Jewish family.
Nosso Senhor e Salvador veio da proveniência judaica, da família judaica.
And so the reason I beg this to you today,
a razão pela qual eu falo isto hoje,
is because many times as Christians,
muitas vezes como cristãos,
we have celebrated Jesus,
nós celebramos Jesus,
and attempted unfortunately to link him from his Jewish roots,
e tentamos infelizmente separar das suas raízes judaicas.
But now we understand very well that we Christians share in the covenant, the blessing of Abraham.
E agora compreendemos muito bem que nós os cristãos partilhamos nas bênçãos, na aliança de Abraão.
And the Lord spoke in His word very clearly.
Il Signore parlò nella sua parola chiaramente.
The salvation comes from the Jews.
E la salvação è dei giudei.
Jesus, the Lord meant that from Abraham.
E da quella maniera il Signore disse che a partire da Abraham,
you transmit the covenant to Isaac.
E gli trasmetteria l'alleanza con Isaac.
And you transmit the same blessing to Jacob and his son.
As mesmas bênçãos transmitidas de Isaac para Jacob e seus filhos.
The 12 sons of Jacob that constitute the 12 tribes of Israel.
Os 12 filhos de Jacob que constituem as 12 tribos de Israel.
And Joseph who went to Egypt.
E José que foi para o Egito.
And we know that from Egypt then the great family was built.
E sabem que a partir do Egito a família israelita foi construída.
So we live at a time when we need to get back to our Jewish roots as the church.
Nós vivemos num tempo em que precisamos retornar às nossas raízes judaicas como igreja.
We have to realize that the first church was Jewish.
Nós temos que reconhecer que a primeira igreja foi
judaica. And we have also realized that when the Torah was given on Mount Sinai,
nós também temos que reconhecer que quando o Torah foi dado no Monte Sinai,
that became God's blueprint.
É, tornou-se, portanto, as marcas, as linhas orientadoras principais de Deus,
on which both we the Christians and the Jews have actually built their lives until today.
Em que nós, os cristãos, construímos a
nossa. So we, on this day, as we celebrate the 75th anniversary of the Battle of Israel,
neste dia, enquanto celebramos 75 anos do renascimento do Estado de Israel,
the greatest celebration we should have in our minds is the fact that we share in the Abrahamic blessing.
A grande celebração que devemos ter nas nossas mentes é que nós partilhamos nas bênçãos de Abraão.
We are one family.
Nós somos uma família.
The same Torah that was well kept by the Hebrew people.
O mesmo Torah que foi bem guardado pelo povo hebraico.
Is what has been transmitted to the Gentile nations.
É o que foi transmitido para as nações gentias.
And I want to bring to your attention also.
E eu quero também quero trazer a vossa atenção.
The fact that the blessings of Abraham in the book of Romans chapter 11.
O facto de que as bênçãos de Abraão no livro de Romanos capítulo 11.
The Lord talks about the olive tree of God.
O Senhor fala de a oliveira de Deus.
And on that olive tree you hear the Lord say that he has cut one branch to graft another.
E nesta árvore de oliveira escuta o Senhor dizendo que ele cortou um ramo para poder portanto engraftar.
And in that scripture, Your Excellency,
in nessa escritura, Vossa Excelência,
the Lord refers to the Gentile branch as the wild olive.
O Senhor refere-se à igreja gentia como a oliveira selvagem.
But it is not without a promise.
Mas sem, não fica sem a promessa.
When the Lord promises that now the natural branch will also be grafted back.
É quando o Senhor promete que a oliveira natural também será engraftado, posto de volta.
When finally the Gentile church,
quando finalmente a igreja gentia,
Israel,
Israel
will unite together.
Vão unir-se.
In this tremendous promise of Abraham,
nesta promessa poderosa,
there will be one family within the millennial estate of God.
E seremos uma família no estado milênio de Deus.
I want to raise one very important aspect of our relationship with Israel.
Eu quero aqui realçar aspecto muito importante da nossa relação com Israel.
Unfortunately, over time, antisemitism has come to the world.
Infelizmente, sobre o tempo, entrou antisemitismo sobre o mundo.
And I think sometimes it's also because of the manner in which the church has attempted to delineate the Jewish roots of the Lord from the Lord.
E isto, às vezes, também aconteceu da maneira como a igreja tentou desconectar as raízes judaicas de Cristo Jesus com Israel. Martin Luther King Jr. disse,
he said, I'll still take a stand.
Eu ainda tomarei uma posição.
against anti-Semitism.
Contra antisemitismo,
because it is wrong.
Porque é errado.
It is unjust.
É injusto.
And outrightly evil.
E totalmente mal.
And you know we Christians.
E sabem que nós os cristãos.
We follow after the righteousness of Jesus.
Nós seguimos sobre os passos justos de Jesus.
And so it will be very important at this very critical time in this life as we celebrate the 75 years of existence of the State of Israel.
Será muito importante nesta vida enquanto celebramos os 75 anos de celebração da criação do Estado de Israel.
That we understand what the Bible says, the duty, the call to duty that is laid in the Bible.
Que compreendamos o que a Bíblia diz, o dever, o chamado que a Bíblia nos entrega.
The Bible in the book of Genesis chapter 12 verse 3.
In Genesis 12 versículo 3,
the Lord promised that the Savior would come from Israel.
O Senhor promete que o Salvador vem de Israel.
And that whosoever blesses Israel.
E todo aquele que abençoar Israel,
the Lord Jehová would bless him.
O Senhor Jeová o abençoará.
So that is our call to duty.
Este é o nosso dever, o nosso chamado ao dever.
To pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Para orar para a paz de Jerusalém.
We live in a time right now.
Nós vivemos num tempo agora.
When the wickedness on the earth is on the increase.
Onde a maldade sobre a face da terra está em aumento.
And that's why it will be very important as we celebrate the 75 years of the birth of Israel.
E é por isso é importante enquanto celebramos esses 75 anos de nascimento do Estado de Israel.
Not to forget what wickedness has done in the Holocaust.
But para não esquecer o que a maldade fez no Holocausto.
And that's why,
é por isso,
many years before even the State of Israel was created,
muitos anos antes mesmo do Estado de Israel foi criado,
Charles Spurgeon said,
o Charles Spurgeon diz,
the day shall come,
que o dia virá,
when Jews shall be gathered in again,
quando os judeus serão mais uma vez reunidos,
until that shall be,
até que isto aconteça,
the fullness of the church's glory can never come.
A cumplição da glória de Deus não será cumprida, não será possível.
And so the Lord is pronouncing so clearly that we are one family.
O Senhor aqui claramente exprime que somos uma família.
So that as we celebrate the 75th anniversary of the Independence Day for Israel.
Para que enquanto celebramos esses 75 anos de independência de Israel,
we should take leave. We should take an example from nations like Brazil.
Devemos tomar os exemplos como o Brasil.
We all know too well that at the inception, the creation of Israel.
Nós sabemos muito bem que na inception de Israel,
Brazil played a very central role.
Brasil jogou um papel central
at the United Nations
General
Geral das Nações Unidas.
É por isso que você vai a Israel, a Jerusalém, a Becheva, a Ramat Gan, vai encontrar o nome do embaixador brasileiro.
What an awesome thing for a nation to have an indelible mark.
Que coisa maravilhosa para uma nação ter marcas históricas.
In the promised land, the land of the Lord, the land of God, Israel.
Na terra prometida, a terra do Senhor, Israel.
That they helped Israel.
Que eles ajudaram Israel a formar.
And we know too well.
E nós sabemos muito bem.
That Bible prophecy gravitates around Israel as the center of the earth.
Que a profecia bíblica gravita ao redor de Israel como centro da terra.
When the Lord Jesus gave the parable of the fig tree,
quando o Senhor Jesus deu a parábola da figueira,
the fathers. Yeah. So now I'm open, I'm free now to just go in, right? Because we read from the book of John chapter 6, 31, the fathers. I read NIV, it says the ancestors, the fathers. Let me just read another, let's just read through so you answer yourself now, right? The fathers. Luke chapter 155, I'll come to the children, the fathers. Luke chapter 155, you're reading King James. It's not a big deal, it's very easy to read it. I can read mine here. Let me read mine as you read yours, because we are global. They need to hear my voice.
Luke chapter 1, 55, and then you read it in King James, every scripture. Luke 1, 55, it says the following. It says, Luke 1, 55, 55, in Spanish. It says, to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Now read King James.
As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever.
And to his seed forever. And to his ancestors forever. I'm now going to graft you. Now look at this now. So when he's talking about the fathers, whom is he addressing? Who are those he's saying that the mission, of this visitation, is to actually reconcile, right? Reunite, reconcile, right? To reconnect. Reconcile the fathers to the sons. So much evil took place. I'm going to come to it. Okay, Romans chapter 9, I'm reading verse 5. Romans 9, 5, blessed people, now we're moving. I know Helen has come, she has missed a big chunk of this, big, big chunk. Romans chapter 9, verse 5. It says the following. It says, there's the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all and forever praised. Amen. That is serious. The God you worship. So do you understand when he's talking about the fathers? Step by step. The fathers that are supposed with their hearts to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. I'm going to find the children. So you can answer yourself, right? This is serious. Yes, very serious. It says in the book of Romans chapter 11, verse 28, it says the following. It says, as far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for our sake. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For the gift and his call are unimpeachable, irrevocable. So he's saying the patriarchs are so key. Whether Israel falls or is hardened in their hearts, but owing to the relations that he had with their fathers, that gift and call on them is unimpeachable. Cannot be impeached. Irrevocable. The centrality of the fathers. I'm going to come to you. Just I'm building you, then I'm going to write what a stuka to I'm right on you. Right? You will do what? I'm right on you. With this major message, how it touches you. Right? The book of Acts chapter 3, 13 says, hallelujah. Acts 3:13, if I read it to you, it says, did you read the scripture in King James? Which scripture is that I read? Romans 9:28. I don't know the slumber going on there.
As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for their father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
Thank you. Without repentance. So, this is serious. He's saying, the gift and call of God without repentance. I can give you an example of one standing here who say, you, today your sin and your guilt has been taken away eternally. So, can strike any nation with earthquake. Or with corona. God is not a joke. He's not a human being. Man. Not at all. He doesn't know anybody else. He only knows Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that lineage, salvation, and whoever comes on it. If you don't come to Shauriako, have you ever heard the word Shauriako? There's a book called Shauriako Market somewhere, isn't it? Acts chapter 2, verse
chapter 3:13. It says the following. It says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. The God of our fathers. You're beginning to understand who the fathers are?
Yes.
Because here is now talking about generational. Are we still together? The previous generation. He's moving slowly, he's touching Abraham and so forth. But I'm coming to you. There is already hinting onto a previous generation that carried it successfully, did not pour it. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Today, you will understand the gravity of this ministry as we move on. You will know that you cannot contest. Because he said, must succeed. This mission must be successful. Lest he does what? Destroy the entire earth. Total. In other words, lest he come find Judea and Jerusalem unconverted, or lest he come find the Gentile nations unconverted, he strike them big, bad. See you? Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's saying Acts chapter 7, verse 2. Stephen over there. Are we together today?
Yes.
He's saying, to this he replied, these are people who want to stone him. Can I put it better? They want to kill him. Can I put it in a better language? I'm looking at you, my son, very senior OCPD or police. Eh? Can I put it in your own language? They want to commit a homicide. They want to assassinate, they want to murder him. They are the ones he's talking to like this. Let's listen how he talks to them. He tells them, to this he replied, brothers and fathers. Aye. He still honored them. He gave them their places. These are the fathers. They want to assassinate him, to commit a homicide. Commit a murder. Assassination. On him. But he still said, brothers and fathers. These are the fathers, my Lord. So you're beginning to slowly understand that the fathers is gravitating to Israel. So if he's saying to come, hey, Maj, waridi hai kusaidia ujama. Let me ask you now directly. Nikupatie nini? What can I give you to stop this kind of thing? Because we're even fasting, dry fast. We're not drinking water at all. He's saying, it is now moving to Israel. They are the fathers. Hi. The fathers. Can I take it a notch higher? Step by step. We don't even have much time. And he says, Acts 22, verse 1. Disrupt me. 22 verse 1 he said to them in Aramaic, brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. That is Paul. Brothers and fathers. Are you beginning to know who the fathers are? So are you beginning to understand the mission? The anointing to connect the New Testament church to the Old Testament. You know very well. Look at this now. You know very well that God never blesses two programs at the same time. When he's dealing in the 69 weeks, the Old Testament is only dealing with Israel. So when you're saying to connect the New Testament church to the Old Testament, you're essentially saying to connect the present day church to Israel. Because Israel is now able to see the God of Israel come in the cloud. The deeds of the God of Israel, healing wells, raising cripples, Mount Carmel visitation. No wonder the president of the Jewish Federation recently came to have lunch with me in Rio de Janeiro. No wonder the rabbis come. No wonder they now come. You can see the statement God is making. I waited for 20 years to reveal this to you. And I thought today was right time. I don't know why doctors, because the bishops are going to cut my neck. They're going to put it on the sword. Because they say, how? Who should be released to? Is it doctors or the priesthood? For some reason, it has turned out to be doctors and medical practitioners, right? You say they have the radio, right? Is that what the doctors say? The bishops have the radio, right? Dr. Ambuko has said it there from MTRH, right? Hi. He's saying that now you can see clearly when he says that anointing to command heaven to open, to bring the cloud, raise cripples, strike nations, to bring the Old Testament God to the New Testament church, that to bring the New Testament church into, or to bring the Old Testament God into the New Testament, is essentially to connect the hearts of Israel to the church. Otherwise he would strike the earth. And to connect the hearts of the church to Israel. And now beginning to understand the mission. It is not here and now, ya ukabila ya Kenya. No, 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 please, no. No, please, no tribalism on this. Not at all, please. Is it yours? No. Are you beginning to understand now? This is serious. This is very serious now. I want to go deeper now. And it finishes in the book of Acts 28:25. We read already? 28:25. I need to move because I am really late. There's so much ahead of us here. To now open up the mission itself. But you're beginning to understand, right? It is meant to connect the church to Israel. And Israel to the church. Serious mission beyond the borders of this country. Why? Why is there such a connection? Can I ask you a question? Let's just stop right here before we read the definition of children. Why is there? You now know the children are the Christians, right? The church, the Gentile church. We're going to come to that. Even different levels. I'll break it for you, different level too. I'll come into the Gentile church and break another card for you. But focus on this now. Why is it important to connect the hearts of the present day church to the heart of Israel? And the heart of Israel to the present day church. Can I start with Israel as the fathers? Okay. It is well said in that speech, right? That the... Okay, don't worry, it has gone up, tripped. It is... Kenya na mambo yake. The whole world is tuned in. It is very clear, it's well said in that speech, that Jesus came as a Jewish Messiah. So your God is Jewish. And that is incontestable and debatable. That is called God's sovereign choice. It's not up for discussion. Number two, the disciples who are called the apostles later, the disciples were Jewish. Are we beginning to work together now? That means the first church was Jewish. The Bible was written by Jews. The Bible is a Jewish book. You now tell me where anti-Semitism can come in. Where? The God is a Jewish God. The first church that faithfully transmitted it. I don't want to go there fast. Can you just allow me to go do this? The first church is Jewish. The God is a Jewish God. The Bible is a Jewish book. And then the values we treasure in Christianity, salvation, are Jewish values that they picked from the Lord and brought to the Gentiles.
Look at me. He says, they came out. Do you remember at first it was very difficult for them to understand? To understand that even the Gentiles are part of the kingdom. It was difficult. You read the narrative, I don't have time, I prepared to read, of Acts chapter 10. When Peter is called to go to Cornelius, right? And he says that they say, no, you know, I'm not even supposed to enter here. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit falls there. Why? Because the Pentecost was Jewish. It fell on the Jewish church. My Lord. The God, the Messiah is a Jewish Messiah. The salvation came from the Jews. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, ethnic Jews, the seed of Abraham. And that salvation, look at this now. The fathers, their hearts turned to the children, and you see the book of Acts chapter 10 taking place. Well, now Peter goes to the house of Cornelius, and the Holy Spirit touches the Gentiles. And then they realize, just a moment, this thing, the kingdom, was also the blessing, was also for the Gentiles. But the hearts of the fathers turned to the children. The hearts of the Hebrew church turned to the Gentile nations, the children. And they began to go out. Paul was persecuted. Where? They went to Antioch. They went to all these places. Why? Because their hearts were turned to who? To their children. Are you following me? They suffered everything, persecution, but they reached out until the gospel is here with you today. Did you understand me? Follow me on this. You will see the mission of who is talking here. For 20 years I waited to say this. I thank God today I'm saying it. Because you say that in the course of time, Israel fell into unbelief. In the course of time, Israel fell into unbelievable unbelief. And he say that the glories of the church will not be completed until Israel enters. Now, can I explain that? Romans 11 is very clear. But look at this. He's saying this. When the gospel was launched, the fathers, Israel, the Jewish church, had a heart for the children, and they came and launched the Jewish Messiah in the Gentile nations successfully. That's why you're worshiping Jesus until today. But in the course of time, they fell into unbelief because of modernism and all these things, right? And now he's saying that he has sent us, sent me with this authority. Are we together? To now come and turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, and the fathers back to the children, that now Israel may look and see the Jewish Lord, the Messiah. Hold it. That when Israel now looks, if the church worships perfectly in holiness, and the cloud comes, and the God of Israel comes to them, Israel will look and say, just a moment, that is our God. And the hearts of the fathers will be turned to the children, and they will go back and now seek the salvation of the Christ that the children took faithfully, and they dropped, but the children took. They will come back and say, show us, now we believe. What is the Messiah? What should we do? What should we do? Did you understand me? This mission was not for Kenya to use for her personal benefit. Oh, you prayed for me, now I have a car. Oh, those things are good. That's all right.
Why are you doing both hands and outwardly? And outwardly. No. The mission is Israel. Because if, again, let me help you. If the prophets of God will come and execute the mission among the children successfully, and the God of Israel comes in the cloud, and the wells are healed as it is in the Old Testament, and the rain of Carmel comes, and the creepers of Israel walk, then the church will have seen the God of Israel that was visiting Israel at that time. And then they will have entered the kingdom of that God. But if they continue in sin, as you see, they will not see the cloud. Only here. Then he comes. Courtesy of his messengers. The holiness of his messengers. He comes. Now Israel can see. And even them now can see Christ. And that when you are connecting the church to this ancient God of Israel, this cloud and the wells and the rain and what, you are essentially connecting the church to the kingdom of God. Because Israel is the kingdom of God. That is undebatable, undiscussable, unimpeachable, irrevocable. That is called God's sovereign choice. It is not placed up for discussion. Did you understand the mission to come and bridge? Oh, yes. I have a battery of scriptures I want to plow through, but this is serious stuff. I longed for 20 years to reveal to you the purpose of this mission. But I wanted to enjoy your story with Jesus. How you are running with creepers and dancing in the rain. I loved that. You understand? I said, one day I'll tell them. One day I'll tell them. 20 years, 20, I waited. Until this particular day. To tell you that the mission is to connect the hearts of the fathers to the children. And I'm saying so because of the following. Look at this now. That when the church began, there was unbelievable animosity between Israel and the first church. The synagogues. They persecuted the church. Persecuted anyone who loved Jesus. Persecuted, even murdered. And that situation is not right for the Lord. And he sends this principle to fix it. So that the family of God may be one family. Do you understand? Do you now understand the preaching? Why I sit next to the Israeli ambassador? And speak about Israel and tell them that the church and Israel need to bring. In fact, out of this speech, they said, no, we need to take it to the Knesset now in Jerusalem to give the speech on the Jewish roots of Christianity. Serious. Muy serio in Portuguese. But he's saying, but to connect the hearts, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Who are the fathers? The fathers are the ones that have wisdom. Number one. Number two, the fathers are the ones that have the word. Number three, the fathers are the ones that had counsel, wise counsel. The fathers are the ones that cared for the children, protected them, provided for them, had authority. They were the opinion leaders, the influencers of the society. They are the specifiers, the standard setters in society, the moral beacons of society. Moral beacons. Are we talking? And that when they came to the children, the Gentile church, they transmitted those values and virtues to the Gentile church. And that the Gentile church, those that have carried those virtues right, need to turn back and now walk correctly and have what? The God of Israel visit them. You simply need to walk right. And this happens. And then Israel will see this as evangelism. God calling them. Because they will say, but that's our God. So let's go step by step. We don't have much time. I think somebody would have to read. So the fathers therefore refer to a previous generation of Israel, the seed of Abraham. You can call it the ethnic Israel, right? Can we read a little bit about the children in a hurry? Somebody just read, because I don't have much time now. Romans chapter 9, 7, real quick before we go to Galatians 4, 19. No, we don't have much time. Ay, yeah, yeah. Always there is no time in this house, right? Ay, always no time, right? We are live on air. Can you read the book of Romans 9, 7, now we are the children?
Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all the children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
Very powerful. And then read Galatians 4:19. I will explain together. Galatians 4:19.
My little children, of whom I travail in birth against until Christ be formed in you.
That is it. Even when, so there's so much I'm going to explain together. Even when Jesus is sitting with them at the Last Supper, he calls them little children. Is that John 13:33? Read it. Referring, let him finish first. John 13:33. I can read it if you can't.
Little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me.
He calls them little children. Those are now disciples. Those are big people. And later he says, then shall you hear from the temple, from the mouth of babes, that Hosanna to the Son of God, Hosanna to the Son of David, right? Were those little babies in a hand suckling, and then all of a sudden, so, were they little babies? So you have to understand the contextualization, the context under which he says children. And so those, if you read John chapter 3 verse 3, it says, unless a man be born again and become like these little children here, a child, now born again, I've received Christ, beginning to learn. Now learning from the fathers, learning the ropes of salvation, the ropes of moral purity, the standards of the beacons of holiness in your life, right? They are the children. So the contextualization is what I'm raising here. That was a Hebrew, those are disciples. But now transliterate or transplant that to the church. Transpose it to the church. Now you find, you understand now that the church are the children. Because those who are followers of Jesus. Because we saw that the fathers are the opinion shapers, opinion leaders, teachers, they have the word, they have the wise counsel, the wisdom. But the children are followers, they are learning, they are taking counsel and everything, instruction. Did you understand? So in the context of Israel, we will become now the children. So the mission is to turn the heart of Israel to you and your heart to Israel. So that we may stop this thing of anti-Semitism in the church. I told you that the greatest Christian country called Germany, it's called Bundesland. Germany is called Deutschland. The greatest Christian country became anti-Semitic and killed 6 million Jews. That needs to stop now. Because anti-Semitism has now gone to Britain, to where, to every country. South Africa is doing his thing at the court until the Lord shouted the dream, South Africa, South Africa, who cursed you? So did you understand? So there is no better time at which now this ministry needs to come in than now, when the whole world has turned against Israel. Okay, so I don't know whether awake or sleep, but whatever. So there is no other time. This ministry is beyond Kenya. You can now tell the center theme is to bring the people of God back. Can I now explain this? So across time, the people of God fell. They fell into unbelief. And so the Lord is crying for his people. And that hour is coming.
when he will finally bring his people into his fold to Jesus, to make a people ready and prepared for the Lord. And we have seen the threefold mission: to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Now you know what that means. To turn the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Now you know what that means. Can I move forward with that now? Now, across time, that has changed. You're like, what do you mean? And then I'm like, hold it a second, I'll explain, right? Right? Across time. Do you remember Luke 7, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 17? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. But because of the hardening of hearts, now they became enemies of the gospel. So the fathers was equal to the wisdom of the just. Do you remember that? Yes, we said naturally so, right? And then the children equal to the disobedient, right? But now it is the other way around. That the fathers have become the they successfully launched the Messiah, but fell out of faith. Am I complicating you? If not, I stop it here. Until we're getting it. Yes, so you have to see it in the broader spectrum, the mission, the complete cascade of the mission I am on. It's not just Israel, it's the church and everybody, right? But most importantly, to bring God's people back to faith. That's why if these are precursors, they are powerful precursors, right? They speak volumes, right? That the connection is happening, right? The connection is happening. Are we together? Yeah. The wisdom of the just. And the church now are walking in wisdom, right? Now the mission is to go get the fathers. Because we had equated fathers, the wisdom of the just. It looks like the children is now equatable. And the father is now equatable to disobedient. You understand? So that is now the reason for the anointing. Now are you understanding better? Step by step. It was not meant for here and now. Hey, lot of... Okay, can because the first one is also not only to restore the church, but also, which I want to come to, but also to restore Israel. Israel to their Messiah, to the Jewish Messiah. Are we together? That now they may worship him, because time is over. And if you remember Daniel's 70 weeks, Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, you see that the 70th week of Daniel is set apart. God does not bless two programs at the same time. Right now he's blessed the Gentile church, the church program. The program for the Gentile church is right now running, and he has blessed that program. You can see everything is happening for you. And then he has at the same time put aside the program on the restoration of Israel. Now you can tell that time for restoring Israel has drawn nearer, right? Because Daniel chapter 9 verse 27 is essentially God finishing up his unfinished business with Israel, right? That is now passing Israel through the final phase of judgment and then the tribulation and so forth and all this, right? But now the Lord in that duty, in the core of that duty, he has defined the purpose of this visitation on the earth. And we saw very clearly
that from the throne room where the Lord is with me at the Ark of the Covenant, in the throne room, the Ark of the Covenant, and then looking at the prophetic timeline, the scope, then you see that in the first coming, again, the principle I met at the throne needed the spirit of he that speaks, the spirit and power, by the spirit and power, to be able to do that mission to bring the Messiah in the first coming to die on the cross. Now that the Messiah is coming, if we had read the book of Matthew 17, you'd have seen it. He promises two comings there, and there's two preparings of the way there. When the principle I met at the throne bears the spirit of he that speaks, spirit and power, does that brings him until he comes, goes to the cross. And you saw that John was a bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament because he came before the Christ came in, right? And then he bridged. And then we see that now when he's coming, the Lord Jesus again in Matthew 17 promises. If you read Matthew 11 also, I think verses 11 to 15, he promises again that now I would come myself, this principle talking to you. And we saw very clearly that the definition of this principle is clear on the it has been well manifested all over the world. Hallelujah. Well displayed all over the world. The TV is off. Okay, that's all right. So you can see that when we stand before men and before the nations and we decree that we command, we stand on the earth here and audibly and looking up like this and raising hand up towards heaven and speaking aloud with God to bring rain, and God fulfills that instantly. Those are not jokes. That's what we have seen, right? And to do it 16 times is not even a joke. 16 times is an overemphasis of something very critical the Lord is doing, right? And so we have seen that the stripes are open. We have seen the calling of the cloud. We have seen the healing of the wells, the judging of the unrepentant nations. So we have seen the bringing now of the Old Testament God to the New Testament church, right? Again, we see the bridge because we see very clearly that the last verse, the last scripture in the Old Testament was Malachi. He's now finishing his manuscript on what the Lord has said. The last, now he's finishing the Old Testament, the last verse, the last scripture, the last verse. And it's crossing over so that you can go to the New Testament. Then you see now over there, the thing he says, he promises the one speaking here would come. So he promises the bridging of the Old Testament with the connecting of the Old and the New Testament. That is the entire duty we saw when he said to turn the hearts of the fathers. Now you understand who the fathers are, right? That's the Old Testament, right? The 69 weeks of Daniel, right? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. That is now the Gentile church. That is you people. Because we saw very clearly that at the beginning, the gospel is given out by the fathers, right? The fathers of the gospel. They held it so well. It was a Jewish church. And the Jewish Messiah. The Jewish book. And they held it very well until they installed the Messiah to you. To the Gentile nations. And you are able to worship the Messiah. Worship the Lord as perfectly, excellently, successfully they have installed him, right? But across time, they fell into disbelief. Which you see very clearly in the book of Romans chapter 11 also, right? That partial hardening of their hearts, right? So now the duty is that, to be able to reconnect. You understand? So that's why, if John is connecting the bridge between the Old Testament and connecting the Old Testament into the New Testament, and then you see here also, we are now connecting the New Testament to the Old Testament. That is the turning of the hearts of the children to the fathers. And when they do so, they now see the Old Testament God in his cloud. They see the healing of the wells, the judging of the nations. They see the, in fact, that's why some people who are confused can say, no, we are not in the Old Testament. What is that, right? No. It's all by design. God is never irrelevant. Never ever. It's all by design. That now, when you find the New Testament church and you connect them to the Old Testament, you're essentially connecting them to Israel. You remember, everything appertains to Israel. Came from Israel. Until at one point, it was now, it was all said in the speech, right? That a wild olive grafted, right? Yes, and then look at this now. When you connect the New Testament church to the ancient God of Israel, we have seen that you have essentially connected them back to the kingdom of God. Yes, so that is a necessary step. Otherwise, you end up with an apostate church, with people preaching their thing, having their own prophets and apostles and whatever, that funny thing going on, right? And then they'll end up in the lake of fire. God is very clean on that. He said, lest I strike the earth, otherwise I will destroy. You understand? So must succeed. So now, restoring the heart of Israel to the church, that they may see their God, the cloud and everything, and long for it. And we have seen the steps already in what was displayed here, right? They are beginning to see. They have accepted the prophet of the Lord. They are talking to him. They are coming to him. They are asking questions, right? We have seen that. They are writing letters to me. Also have the scenario, the spiritual scenario when Jesus was ministering at that time. And then you had the Pharisees. Do you remember that? The Pharisees were essentially resistant to the gospel Jesus brought. So how does that factor in this restoration? Right? I just want to get a little deeper if you want. Is that right? Yes. So, the Pharisees also represent the fathers. Do you remember that Stephen is about to be killed and is addressing them as fathers? Do you remember that Paul is about to be stoned also and is addressing them as fathers? So the Pharisees are fathers. Why? Because we define who the fathers are. We said they have counsel. They have the word. They are senior. They have they institute moral beacons of life in that society that people should walk by, be guided by. They care and all these things. But in this scenario, then there was a fall, right? Because let's look at this. The Pharisees are fathers as to the fact that they have the word, right? And they are dispensing the word to the following, to the Israel, to the nation, right? So what they are saying is what these people follow, right? So in other words, when John was coming in on that calling of Luke 1:17, he found a people that were ready. Let me just open up to this a little bit. When John was responding to his call in that calling of Luke 1:17 we just read here, he found a people that were ready. That's why they would come to him, right? But the Pharisees were not ready. Yeah, we must see the greater total texture of this, right? And so the Pharisees have authority over the people. So they told the people to stay away. In fact, John rebuked them when they came for baptism, right? He said, show fruit. Show forth fruit then of repentance. Show fruit of repentance. Don't just come here. Are we together? So the Pharisees are fathers. Thank you for writing those who are writing. The Pharisees are fathers. And they have a following. And they stopped them totally. In other words, abused them, if you will. Stopped them from accessing Christ. That is serious. Why have I brought up that platform of the Pharisees at the pulpit? That the fathers can also be those that are at the pulpit. So that you see the broader spectrum of restoration. Why? Because I want to look at the church. Right? Oh yes. The church also has people that are at the pulpit. What have they done with the word? Right? Could it be true that they've stopped them from accessing Christ? So that restoration then also in that aspect, miniature aspect, must involve restoring the church, the pastors, the pulpit. That's why he lowers the pulpit from heaven to me. The wooden pulpit. Must restore the pulpit such that the pastors, who then are kind of symbolic also of fathers, I don't want to give it to them, I'm just saying symbolic, can also have a heart for the sheep. And now lead the sheep to Christ. You understand? Yeah. And prepare the sheep for the kingdom of God. So that's very important if you follow that. So the entire restoration, there is one front the entire church is being restored. The miracles, the true miracles are being restored. So people are now seeing the true power of God, the visitation of God. The God of Israel is now coming to the church. That is a power. Hey, that's a powerful restoration. When now God comes to the church in his cloud, that's like an ultimate restoration, ultimate. Because that's the ultimate visitation. The Lord of hosts, to now come in his cloud and enter the church, visit the church. That's the ultimate visitation. So that is a symbol of restoration. Hallelujah. So there is one front of that restoration which is in the church. The pulpit in the church, you remember the vision of the pulpit, right? So I didn't want you to lose contact on that, to lose sight on that. That it is restoring the church back to the God of Israel, back to Israel, restoring Israel, growing their hearts to the church of Christ, that they may see the Jewish Messiah, right? You understand me? Because the church is now beholding the gospel, right? He's the one beholding the gospel. Are we together? Yeah, so doing that kind of thing. And also inside the church now you see that dynamic of restoration, the pulpit, the visitations, cripples are walking, the gospel is changing, it's righteousness, holiness, repent, prepare the way. It's a very powerful cascade in the church. And then today I showed you the bigger picture. The connection now with Israel, the role of this church, of this ministry really, of he that speaks, let's just put it down. We said that it takes his stature. It takes his figure. It takes his authority, his spirit and power. It takes his calling, his duty, his capacitation to do that. Because when Israel, the rains you see, I say it, they're not movies, right? That when you see that, that's a big thing. It talks about what happened in your benchmark on Mount Carmel, right? And then you know that it's to restore all mankind, right? And the fall. And to bring them to Christ, to prepare a people, to make a people prepared unto the Lord, right? To make ready a people unto the Lord, right? And so the Pharisees, they govern the rest. They have followers. That's what we have seen. And they have authority over them. And so when the fathers fall, it's a terrible thing. We can see now, right? And so Luke chapter 18, did we read verses 9 and 17? Did we ever read it? Okay, just read it real quick so I can get out of here. Luke chapter 18, and then I go to Matthew 18. Then I'll summarize everything now from this point on. Luke chapter 18. Okay, so the Lord is saying here very clear, the salvation came from the Jews, right? But everything that defines the values you hold, righteousness, fear of God, what came from the Jews, right? Anyone with a problem with that? That is God's sovereign choice. It is incontestable, it's unimpeachable. It cannot be contested, it cannot be revoked, right? And Jesus was born Jewish. The Bible is a Jewish book. Jesus died as the King of the Jews. Do you remember that? Serious. And the early church was totally Jewish. And exclusively so, right? Until Pentecost came, and then now you have the Acts chapter 10. When now you realize, oh, it has been open to the Gentiles, right? When the blessing reached the Gentiles. I want to finish up now. I want to look at the last calling. I mean, the summary of what we've seen until today. Hallelujah. And so, on this calling, on this ministry, so that now we never make a mistake again, right? I know it's good to own it as Kenyan. We bless the Lord for you, because even when, you know, when you send us to go to the nations and we're able to bridge to do this, when they come and the bridging is starting, you are involved. You are literally involved, right? You are the ones that send us, right? Thank you. So you are part of that blessing, right? Nobody can steal that from you ever. And you see now the cloud of God, the rain of Mount Carmel, the healing of the worlds, the great miracles, the judgment of nations. It literally brought the God of Israel to the church. The Old Testament into the New Testament church, right? And so people said, the grace. Okay, I'm just talking about the duty that the Lord is saying there. That is his context of grace, right? He's saying that must be restored. Everything must be restored. They sang grace, grace, but they were in sin for a long time, right? But now, God is visiting. That is very powerful restoration, isn't it? And so, let's look at the final stretch and then we'll be able to close it down. Those who have come late, it's not much you've missed, but I think you had it on radio somehow, right? Yeah, so you picked it on radio. So we talked about these two separate comings that require two separate preparing of the way, right? The first one coming to go die on the cross, second one coming to reign as a king, right? Coming to rapture the church and then reign as a king. The forerunners were both, we have opened them up. Luke chapter 1:17, we saw Malachi 4:6, we saw, right? And we saw the three steps that, the core duties to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, turn the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and then to make ready a people unto the Lord. That now we have finished. So in summary, I want to say that right now, as the status of this mission is that Israel is fallen at this point, so the duty is on, right? Are we together? And that right now, as it was then, Israel is kind of double-hearted, okay? So there is going to be a call for them to follow one route. If Jehovah be God, you follow Jehovah, right? Because they're trying to follow the other things also. Sometimes they go to worship yoga on Mount... New Age is very popular right now in Israel, which is the religion on Mount Everest, the mountain I shook violently. And then the materialism, the modernism, all these things have robbed away their attention from the Lord. And yet they still want to come to the Lord, right? So the mission now would be to confront idol worship in Israel again. Anything else that takes away from the worshiping of Christ, the worshiping of Jehovah is classified as an idol, right? Stumbling block. And to remove that idol worship totally from God's chosen people, Israel. And then, within there, the big mission will be to restore the altar of the Lord. Now, let me give this vision. In this vision, the Lord makes me see the tribulation temple. The tribulation temple. And as I'm looking at it, it makes me stand at the door, really. And I see the following two scenarios that I want to discuss here. Number one, I see that they have restored the original sacrifice of slaughtering lambs. Okay? So then the Lord by voice says, tell them, but the Christ has resurrected. But the Christ has resurrected. Pero, but the Christ has resurrected. In other words, confront them, right? So there is the coming up. That's why I'm saying this war in Gaza and all these cascades taking place in Gaza and in Palestine and Israel, they can only end up with a temple, a national temple for Israel. Somehow it's going to be in such a way that the temple will be built. Either by negotiation or by situation. By kinetic kind of situation, right? Combustive, right? And so, I stand at the door. I am seeing the tribulation temple. And I see that they've restored the original physical sacrifice, right? Then the Lord says, tell them, but the Christ has resurrected. So, in terms of the restoration of the altar, that is now the status of the mission, right? That will have to be restored, right? And I've also seen the final restoration, though, at the end of it all. However, I want to bring this into your attention also, that I've also seen the two beasts entering the temple. The two beasts. They are following one another. And then remember when I asked the Lord, I said, I don't understand, please. Then the next day, the archangel Gabriel was sent to me, and he arrived and he pinned his wings like this, and with the hands, and you know, for him his hair falls this way. And then I'm saying from somewhere like this falls this way, yes. I don't want to describe more than that. And then then I contact the glory, the cloud of glory, tremendous glory flows, cover the whole place. Then after I gained eye contact, then he said, coming to destroy the house. Coming to destroy the house. And then he left. So, in terms of the restoration of the altar, those are the things right now in the horizon. That at one point, there will be this abomination of desolation that Christ talked about, right? And all these things are going to be important. The vision of the old sacrifice restored. And in that restoration, it can only help to remind us of the events which we are very much involved in on Mount Carmel. Remember the 12 stones? Okay, maybe you don't know. Maybe we need to teach on that one day. Somebody can teach, right? The 12 stones representing the 12 tribes. And then restoring the altar and then the fire, right? And so now, the mission, we said, must be successful, must succeed. The sons, the children, the fathers that you have seen already. And we have seen that the Lord is sending this restoration because initially in the beginning there was a conflict whereby those who received Christ were persecuted by synagogues. And now the church has turned around, is also now trying to persecute Israel. You see it all over your news now, they're demonstrating and what have you, right? So it's important, this mission to restore, to turn the hearts of the fathers, the children, and the children, the fathers, is actually urgent, right? Especially considering the current scenario. This is the moment now when now the church must stand with Israel, right? And so the gospel to the Gentiles, they were faithful in bringing you the gospel. And they brought the light of Christ, Isaiah 49, if you read it through, verse 6, Isaiah 42, verse 1. Luke chapter 2, when Simeon carries the baby, say, light of God to the Gentiles, Revelation. Hallelujah. The glory of Israel, right? And so, lest I strike the land with a curse. In other words, I will find them unconverted, and then it will be unbelievable. Bring them to total destruction. Smite them with utter obliteration or extinction. And you know, it always ends up in the lake of fire, right? And so, this time the mission is to reach them after the mission to the church. So that also tells you that the mission to the church is coming to an end, right? Anyone does not know that? It is coming to an end. You see the signs. Israel is now in the headline, right? But to strike for refusing to receive the instruction has been there. There's a history of God doing that, right? Because we saw when he cried, he turned like this, faced Jerusalem, and he cried the triumphal entry, right? He cried over the city. He said, oh, I wish you knew, you would know what would bring you peace, you know? And he cried, he wept over the city. And then at one point, if you read Matthew 23, 37, 39, he says, oh, how I wish to gather you, right? Now your house left you. Now you'll be thrown down, you'll be destroyed. And all these things. And it does not stop until the tribulation, right? So the status of the mission now is to be able to get them to Christ, to love Christ, so that the cup of their iniquity is not full. Hallelujah. And even most importantly, the Bible says the kingdom has suffered violence and the violent must now take it by force. So which means the kingdom must grow. That this mission must succeed with power. That's why the earthquakes, the everything are going to continue to take it for the Lord, right? And so in checking out, I said the present day church has its roots in Israel, right? So you don't forget that ever. And unfortunately, as you saw in that speech, the church has tried to alienate themselves from Israel, their Jewish roots. And sometimes they brought in replacement theology where they are now assigning themselves the things of Israel, right? But it says, no, Israel is Israel, right? And then we saw that because of that, Israel also has rejected the church. I don't want to go very deep in some very deep issues like the Hillel school in Israel, those Ulpans, the schools where they study the Torah, and go into the Shammah schools
which have kept them away from the word, but all that has to be addressed and restored back to Jesus, right? And so, the relationship in the past has been persecution between the fathers and the children, right? But now the Lord wants to restore it so that it is centered on Christ, right? Hallelujah. Do you remember the olive tree of God Almighty? Yes, so must be restored. And so the duty of he that speaks with you here is beyond the borders of this country, is to be able to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, Israel to the church, and the children to the father, that now you too may worship the God of Israel, not some modern God who is not holy, that you may also uphold the virtues of salvation that you received from Israel. Hallelujah. That when Israel will see you worship perfectly, the cloud coming to you, they will be drawn to the God of Israel, right? And then a restoration takes place and the Messiah comes. I just want to bring it to an end at this point. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Thank you. So now, that is all I wanted to share with you today. And so now I know we need a meeting. Can I meet only the medical team alone here for a moment? The rest you can step out for a moment. We'll call you in a moment after that. And do it a little faster. Only the medical team remain. The senior clergy, you are not crazy to walk out. The word is crazy. Nerechi, you're going where?
Can people talk to yourselves?